I feel like what I may do is just transcan a bunch of the junk threes so that it fills out the cyber decks.
I did that with all my ones and twos, because I was actually hanging on to one of everything for a while, and then upgrading became such an enormous pain that I sat there and went through the other enormous pain of transcanning every single one and two.
Yeah.
Also, this game is dumb. Ready or not, here we come. It's WTF at TFW 254. Aaron's still pulling on that last pant leg and doing up his fly. How you doing, Aaron?
Doing okay. I've been recording for 10 minutes.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. 10, 12, nope. 13, 14, 15.
That's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. Aaron, have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
Yes, I have.
How much?
I am currently caught up.
Oh, I'm now working my way through season 4.
Okay.
So in the first episode of season 4, the bit with the box cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Man! Man!
Mm-hmm.
Man!
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to show that scene to a couple friends of mine, but couldn't, because it's a big spoiler. But the fact that it all happened and one character in particular said nothing the entire time was fantastic. Man! So I'm now cruising through season 4. Breaking Bad update.
Yeah. Past that, then you have to go not quite as readily available.
I'm ready to do that. I'm a pirate.
Yar.
Ahoy, Omegas Prime!
All you people talk about these days are things I do not understand.
I highly recommend looking into Breaking Bad if you need a TV drama in your life.
I don't need any TV in my life these days.
Well, I mean, I don't watch it on TV. I'm watching it on Netflix.
Well, put it that way.
I actually want to talk TV. I just started watching Falling Skies today.
Don't know what that is.
It's like post-alien invasion. The aliens kill the adults and put this like down the spine harness thing on the children. And so it's following this history professor who's part of the resistance movement in the Second Massachusetts Army. And it's been pretty interesting so far.
Who's making it?
I think it's TNT.
Huh.
But it's something that, like, for the longest time, my local theater, before you go into a movie, has, like, the what's new and upcoming stuff. And that,
like, the pre-trailer trailers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That always has, like, the pathetic trivia and the fill-in-the-blank that's missing two letters. But they have always run advertisements for that, and that's something that's always like, man, you know what? I should watch that. And then by the time I get home, completely forget about it. But was sitting there looking at Amazon Prime stuff on my Xbox. And I was like, oh, you know what? You've done. Oh, holy. That's there. Add to queue. Add to queue. I have a new thing to watch because I've burnt through most everything else.
Hmm.
And it has been worth it so far. It's caused some dust in the house at times.
Oh.
The only commercial for those things I see at the movie theater anymore is that Under the Dome thing, and every time I see it, I think, that's the plot of the Simpsons movie, and they did a whole show for it?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a true story, and I'm actually a little bit ashamed about this, because I always meant to see it to catch up to it. I actually never saw the Simpsons movie.
Make sure you're past season 16, or you won't get a single thing in it.
Oh, great. That's one reason why I didn't watch it, because I looked at trailers, and I was like, this feels like it's after that point where I stopped watching The Simpsons, and whenever I came back in, I felt a little lost.
Yeah, anymore, it's what was the South Park episode, Simpsons did it already, so.
Yeah. I have one little thing I want to throw out just about movie trailers, because I don't think I mentioned it on here, but when I went to see Iron Man 3, I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, but I had this funny moment where I saw the trailer for After Earth. Which is a film I knew nothing of. And so I watched this trailer. I'm like, this is an interesting setup, interesting concept, cool visuals. Those actors look neat, because I didn't recognize them.
Okay.
So I was like, this could be interesting. And then I afterwards, I find out, number one, that was Will Smith. And number two, that was Jaden Smith. So I'm like, oh, so the character arc of this movie is going to be interesting for two-thirds or three-quarters, then the main character will turn into Will Smith. Okay. And if his son's in it, that means that he will die before the end of the movie to save his son. And then after that, I tell all this to Jacob, and he says, and you know it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, right? And I'm like, you what? Because his name was taken off all the marketing. So I went from, like, total interest and naive excitement to complete cynicism on After Earth within the course of about a day. And it was the most depressing thing ever, because I was like, if not for all these elements I'm now aware of, I was interested in that movie. So now it's going to be Will Smith dies at the end due to some weird plot twist after his character turns into Will Smith.
Well, I mean, it already showed in the trailer that, like, his leg is messed up or whatever after their crash.
I know, but I don't know. I thought, because when they showed that he survived the crash, I was like, oh, so this is going to be not going to be a stranded kid. It's going to be two of them. Cool. But I just have a problem with modern Will Smith, because he always, his character, somehow he bleeds into the scripts of the movies he's in.
Yeah.
And then the worst part was, because it's Will Smith, there's a shot in the trailer with a big volcano going off, and I was like, oh no, now it's Dianetics too!
Well, it's kind of easy this time, because apparently Will Smith conceived the story in the first place.
Oh no! I don't want to ever see After Earth. It sounds like the worst movie. That makes me sad.
Oh, come on. Go see the Ego Project for his son.
No, that was called Karate Kid.
I heard that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that was actually okay.
It wasn't, and it wasn't bad. I
haven't seen it, but
I know it's like Jackie Chan, and I love Jackie Chan, but still it was like, oh, yep, there's that scene. Yep,
I got nothing against his kid, because his kid is still a kid and could change in the coming decades, but
I always feel bad for kids in celebrity, because they're screwed. They got such a poor chance of getting out of there sane, and now it's not even like he's gotten there on his own ambition. It's his dad saying,
you're going to
finance this? Yeah, Will Smith, I'll finance this on the terms that my kid gets this part. And you got to say, well,
the worst
that's
part
a whole
is
lot
that
of money.
Will Smith is a probably Scientologist as well. So his kid is like triply screwed, because it's like, you know, born into the, it's not quite a cult for the celebrities, but it may as well be. What a shame. Anyway, After Earth is probably going to suck. But that's not what this podcast is about. We're here to talk to you today about Transformers and make transparent the fact that I don't trust Scientology. We're going to start off today with, I'm just going to say, are there any we did this before and I kind of liked it. Aside from all that movie stuff, are there any quick headlines? We could briefly mention the BotCon announced a bunch of guests with less than a month to go.
And they're all stellar examples of the classic stuff we love, like Six Gun.
They have all these guests, and the weirdest part is they have Steve Bloom coming in, but not for Prime, and he got crowd pops coming in for Prime before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything against Rescue Bots. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I should see it. And Maurice LaMarche is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the brain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they're all coming in, though, for a day.
For a day. For a show that is not what should be the draw. That should be the bonus. Or the side bit, not.
I can't say anything as to that, because I mean, it has a small, passionate group of people who are really into it, and I haven't seen it myself. So, it's cool. Also, Tommy Kennedy is coming, and I want to believe that Tommy Kennedy is going to be the most chill bro, because there's no way he can't be. His contribution to the franchise is so minuscule and strange. But, anyway, the guest list has been updating day by day over the last couple weeks. Feels kind of like it's a bit of a scramble on their end getting a guest list together this year.
Yeah.
So, that's a shame. It's never good when that stuff eats up so much time this close to the show. But there's a guest list.
Yeah. It just isn't. It isn't the big hit that you'd expect of the premiere show. And I guess it's not a movie year. So
I was going to say we're in an off year.
There's play in that, I guess.
This was the year that the G.I. Joe show was going to have its movie year kind of deal. Only G.I. Joe was never going to have its movie year again. So that happened. And speaking of Rescue Bots, they've also said the Rescue Bots crew seem to be really tight because they've been tweeting like it's their final rap party until they find out maybe a year from now if they're going to get a season 3. Yeah. And that also made me sit there going, like, man, I should just watch that show sometime. Because it seems like the people working on it were really close. And so there must be some heart that shows through that production.
Yeah. Well, the 4 or 5 episodes that I've watched, of what I watched, I'll say, I could be totally wrong at this point. It definitely seems like it's a kids fact show. Like, this is what I learned about playing together, or this is what I, you know, that sort of thing, as I'm making the dancey dance arms. I could be totally wrong at this point. It's not aimed at the older generation by any stretch of the imagination.
But I feel like at some point the show jumped over a little hump and got its beard, as they say, to a small degree, given the way that some people have stuck with it and gotten to quite a fervor about it.
It may well have, and I would love to be totally wrong about it.
That's why I almost felt unconfident to start watching it, because I was like, I feel like if I start this, I'm going to have to finish it, and it's going to have to be a full journey, and I don't know if I can make the time for that yet, because I still have to watch Breaking Bad. Anyway, yeah, that's what's going on over in the BotCon end. They're still announcing guests. The show's in 26 days? Or 27 days?
Something like that, yeah.
Yep. So, I guess we'll see what happens at that show.
Hey, Brickworld's 10 days away. That's the important one.
Who?
Brickworld.
What?
Lego convention in Chicago.
What do you do at a Lego convention?
You buy Lego, you check out other people's builds.
So you all get together and play with Lego?
Not really play, more watch, because these are, like, massive installations. This is things that people have spent months and months building. Oh, that's neat.
Do they glue them?
Sometimes they do, especially if it's like a specialty model. Well, like, for example, one of the ones at Brickworld Indy was, and this is totally off topic, sorry people, was the Lucas Oil Stadium, which is like the stadium that was nearby in Indianapolis. And so that was, I believe that was like the major segments of it. Like the roof was all glued together, each of the, like, I think it was like 2 segments of the wall. And that was a commissioned piece that was built and then like signed by all the Colts football team.
I thought you said all the Cults.
All the Cults as well.
The Hare Krishna show up and Scientology shows up. And
yeah, they signed it as well. But the story was that in transit, it hit the van had some turbulence or something along the way, some rough roads, and ended up breaking apart one of those pieces that then made for a scary reassembly.
To rewind that back slightly, that's a bunch of convention stuff happen, and you guys still are pretty much not making it to any shows due to circumstances, so I'm sure there's not much to say. But there's also Hasbro has added a Beast Creator to the Beast Hunters website, so you can mix and match pieces of the CG models from their little vignettes.
So and this colors and everything.
And I immediately recognize Blight's arms. And torso. That's some Blight there. Are you guys gonna make any beasts?
I may have played around with it a little bit.
Yeah, I've done some goofing.
All right. Are you proud of any of them?
Not yet.
Really?
All right. Well, that takes us through our Spitfire headline coverage. Let's move into an actual predetermined topic. I want to talk very briefly about the Transformers GT promo video that Takara Tomy put up, and I want to talk about it for one specific reason. It is the debut, as far as I know, of live-action Safety Prime on YouTube. And my favorite part of the video is that live-action Safety Prime sits in a chair and says nothing and nods sometimes, very politely and quietly, through the entire video.
Moves his arm once and seems as if he's unsure about how his hand works.
Yep. Safety Prime clearly is so concerned with safety, he's afraid he will hurt someone if he so much as stands up.
Well, he's got those big door wings, so he never knows when he's going to clip somebody.
Yeah.
So is this one of the District Primes, or because it says Circuit Commander Safety Prime, so I'm thinking that he's like the race car tracks...
Prime? I think he was a District Prime that got elevated to being Circuit Commander, because he's apparently going to be in the manga they're doing for GT.
Okay. Because I saw that they had, like, a Legends scale version of him as well, which...
If you go to Japan and, you know...
Go to Japan to the kids to walk.
Saddle up to a race queen and say, you know, Kono Transformero Kaishite. Or something. That's Japanese.
I'll take your word for it.
And you'll get one. I just like how Safety Prime is, you know, going behind the curtain a little bit, is clearly someone who's not comfortable wearing that costume whatsoever.
Yeah, and they're like,
doesn't
Jim,
really want to be
come
there.
Here. You're going to be in the commercial. All right, what do I get to do? Put on the suit.
I was incredibly amused watching Safety Prime, because I'm sitting there and everything he's doing, I'm like, all of this has to be recorded and interpreted for the canon.
Yeah. Oh, and in Japan now, he's totally canon as well.
Yep.
Because they're crazy like that.
But I'm curious what the manga is going to be they're doing for GT. Because it looks like Safety Prime and the Race Queens are all in it, along with the GT alternates. Omegas, what do you think about the Tokusatsu Transformer Safety Prime?
I'm not sure he's wearing pants.
Well, we can't really tell.
Well, that's for safety's sake.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Hey, that race fuel burns clear. You don't know that it's burning until it's burning things off of you.
Yeah. And you know...
This is a good point.
They had to disassemble all of the stuff from the waist down off of Anthony Daniels when he was in the C-3PO costume and had to sit down. I learned that from my $400 C-3PO toy.
Why, does it have authentic Anthony Daniels sits down action?
Nope, they explain that the hip posability is terrible because that's how the costume worked.
Oh.
And they go on to explain that when he sat down in the movies, they actually had to rebuild an entire hip assembly. And I kind of went like, then why isn't there an entire other hip assembly in my toy box?
No, what actually happened was they decided they didn't want the toy to be hip articulated and found this wonderful story that made it easier on them.
He said, that's really hard. Do we have an excuse?
Movies. So, Transformers...
It kind of amuses me that this little promotional character is the one that gets that full-blown Prowl-looking suit and not, you know, Prowl.
No, this is Safety Prime. He's the friend of children. Keeps them safe.
It's not Prowl. Prowl took his look back on Cybertron.
Yeah, Safety Prime is the fair lady.
Clearly, yes.
And that actually leads me directly into our next topic, because I'm wondering if somehow we're going to get a masterpiece, Safety Prime.
Better come with a safety matrix.
Oh, it'd be so cool if they did a masterpiece, Safety Prime. Only, like, 100 people would ever want it, but whatever. We're gonna talk a little bit about some news we got. Snack S did some summarizing from Figure King issue number 184, and this pertains a whole lot to Masterpiece Prowl, Blue Streak, and Smokescreen. Apparently, as I was kind of expecting, Masterpiece Prowl and Blue Streak are delayed due to I was expecting them to be delayed. The reason I didn't know about delayed due to retail orders greatly exceeding what Takara Tomy expected them to be, so they have to go back and make more.
I would think, why not do a first release, second release, so that it's out there rather than delay the whole thing. But
I'm guessing it has to do with when all the orders came in. Like, maybe it's a case where they'd have to start figuring out who gets the first release, second release.
You ship everybody whatever percentage of the order you created.
Well, that's what happened with Soundwave, wasn't it? That resulted in things like TF Source's lack of Soundwaves for months.
Something like that.
So I'm guessing that that was not just a TF Source thing, but perhaps was something that Takara Tomy perhaps are trying to alleviate this time around.
Seems to be a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, though.
Yeah, and, I mean, personally, I don't mind them getting bumped back, because lots of toys are coming out in the first half of this year, even the first two-thirds of this year.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily all Transformers, but if you're going to take third-party into account, a whole lot of stuff is coming out. So, hopefully, I mean, I don't expect Takara Tomy are thinking at all about third-party, but I'm okay with this delay, and I'm pretty sure everyone who got left waiting for a Soundwave are probably okay with it, too. The follow-up to this is that apparently Masterpiece Smokescreen, who we've seen nothing of, is going to be significantly different in design and will be announced soon. That makes me wonder if he's going to be... Does that mean he's going to have just the bigger spoiler and a new head, or are they going to do even more to differentiate him?
Well he had the different front-fairing spoiler, and that I could see them... I mean, that front-fairing is going to definitely change the look of it enough that maybe considered considerable.
Well, keep in mind he's also in that he's in that that season two bubble of remolds where all the new toys got a much closer to toy appearance in their animation models. So he's got different shoulder guns. He's got a very different head than the rest of them. He's got a slightly different look to a lot of his body parts.
And they went through with some like more than just a new head on Red Alert for the sake of the Floro Deary model. With those shoulder tires.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting to look at, I think, like once he comes out. And another cool bit that we got about the Masterpiece line is apparently Takara Tomy are approaching manufacturers that they don't have the rights for, just to see if they're interested, which means that the Volkswagen Bumblebee or Porsche Jazz are not 100% out of the picture, although I don't know how the Volkswagen thing will exactly go. I'm not sure what the Japanese end of Volkswagen is like, as opposed to the end over here that doesn't like war toys.
The one thing that I've seen that may change some is the fact that from the time that I believe somebody had said it, and it seemed right, from the time that alternators happened until now, some of those properties have changed hands, even though the properties are still in existence. So it may now be that whoever's boss's boss is different enough that things may happen, depending on how far up the food chain vehicle likeness sales and things go. But that's all hearsay and conjecture that I've not actually checked myself.
I think it is cool that it's been, I guess, softly confirmed that ownership of rights is not going to factor into speculation on Masterpiece, which makes me wonder about the prices on some of the ones that may be coming up. Like, if they do get, like, a Porsche Jazz put together, are they also going to be having to pay a premium for the license?
Like, that's a good question.
That's going to be something
I bet that there is some kick in for it because the Porsche name will be on the box.
Yeah.
How much that ends up being, and that may be part of it. Porsche may say, yeah, but we want $10 from every sale.
Or we want the Porsche
and that
name
just outprices. Yeah.
We want the Porsche name to be the big part of the box with Transformers in the corner.
Right.
And then apparently there's gonna be some kind of announcement about all of this stuff in one way or another at the Tokyo Toy Show on the 15th and 16th of June. Whether that's Masterpiece Smokescreen or some other Masterpiece toy, we'll find out then. This other little tidbits, apparently Encore Fortress Maximus sold well beyond expectations, which I'm super glad to hear, because I thought that the opposite was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually end up getting one, because I decided that if I want one, I want to get one in person. Especially after hearing all the small problems in manufacturing that occurred.
Yeah.
With mismatched parts, etc. So it seems like the end result of this is it's hoped that reissues will continue on the back of that success, which makes me hopeful for, like, if Fortress Maximus sold well, that may open the door for all kinds of things that may have been thought to not sell well. Not necessarily, like, the most obscure stuff, like Browning, but I think a Star Saber reissue does not seem as unrealistic anymore.
Yeah.
As a very easy example.
Well, I mean, I would think that maybe they'd go for Scorponok next, then. Mm-hmm. Even though he's Scorponok, not as grand, he is the competitor to Fort Max.
I'd probably say Trypticon next, since we've had Metroplex predating Fort Max already.
Either of them feel like they could be in the cards. I guess this just becomes a question of which molds are more available. Like, I'm not sure what the Beast Wars 2 Megastorm... was it Megastorm was the Trypticon remold? You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Gigastorm.
Like, does Gigastorm mean that they permanently messed with the original toolings of Trypticon?
Or... Yeah, that's probably a good question. For that time frame, they may have.
Yeah, because at that time, it's like, what else are we going to do with them? So that, like, that's a question where I'd be like, does Trypticon exist, or does Gigastorm exist?
Yeah.
Like, is it a one or the other? Or did, because I don't think at that time they would have cloned the mold for Gigastorm. It seems like it would have been more likely to have altered it. And with Scorponok, like, that's one of those molds where I don't think we ever really got confirmation one way or the other if that still is kicking around somewhere. Fortress Maximus, like, at least had the whole thing of, like, oh yeah, because they did Brave Max back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm curious to see where reissues go. I'm sure that may be something else that comes up at Tokyo Toy Show.
It'd be cool just to get a Scorponok reissue, just to know that it might be possible one day to have a Black Zarak that didn't self-destruct.
If they did Scorponok, I think that they would be demented to not do a Black Zarak afterwards. Like, if they actually put a Scorponok reissue out on the market, that's where I'd say, all right, now you're insane if you don't do Black Zarak. Like, if you've... If you're going to go to the trouble of actually manufacturing a copy of that toy again, then also do it in black and do it in, like, whatever that new gold plastic is that doesn't explode.
Yeah, the new gold plastic, or take the Predaking approach and just paint the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel all happy that reissue speculation like this doesn't seem as pie in the sky anymore.
Yeah.
And so even though I didn't go in on it, I gotta say, like, pat on the back for the Encore Fort Max reissue, as flawed as its release was. It was so cool seeing stacks of Fortress Maximuses at 80s Toy Expo. Like, I was sitting there just chewing my finger going, like, do I want to get one? But...
I hope to see the same thing at TFCon, just so I can have that memory forever.
Very few of them sold at 80s Toy Expo, so I expect we will see at least 5 or 10 of them at TFCon. And good. TFCon is where I'm thinking I may get one if I am going to get one. So
do you want somebody to lean into you to make you get one?
I don't know yet. Because I also want to bargain hunt one. That's what I was trying to do at 80s Toy Expo. I was like, if any of them go below... I forgot what I set the limit at, but none of them did. I think the cheapest one I saw there was 360.
Okay.
Which is pretty good for getting it in person and getting... And everyone there was let... As far as I know, everyone selling one there was letting people open it up to inspect it upon purchase.
That's cool.
And one table... Oh, and I forgot who they were, because they're a new Canadian store, and I wanted to mention their name, but their business card is buried somewhere in a wallet. They were letting people do it... and at the expense of their own table space. Like, they only had two tables, and it took a quarter of a table for someone to inspect a Fort Max.
Oh, wow.
And they were letting people do it, because whoever asked them, they would say, okay, sure. Like, they looked a little trepidatious about it, but I really appreciated that they were letting people do that.
Yeah. Well, that, and then probably what they're able to do is, if it's no good... You know, if it's a part that's swappable or something like that, do that number and then have units to just tell back to their supplier, be like, no, we got 5 bad ones, when in reality it may have been 6 or 7 that they were able to
Yeah, and a bad one smack also together. A bad one becomes a source of parts that aren't bad off of it.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then maybe even at the end of the day, like, you know, remember TF Source and the original Night Morpher? They could just also sell discounted, you know, this Fort Max is missing a left fist stuff.
Yeah,
like we'll knock $50 off or something. The other bullet points on here are that the masterpiece Tiger Track Yellow Sideswipe is going to be a Tokyo Toy Show exclusive and have non-chromed versions of those Amazon pile drivers, the little Phillips heads, no, flatheads, mm-hmm. little flathead screwdrivers.
Flatheads, yeah.
Phillips
with the cross.
Yep, I was flipping around in my head. And also, there's apparently confirmation that the Japanese version of Generations Metroplex is going to have two guns and a different paint deco from the US, but there was nothing else about that. However, that's information, because I believe the U.S. one is only going to have one gun. So I'm really curious what this Japanese one's going to be like now.
All the parts to make six gun?
I'm still kind of sitting here going, like, this was the same mindset that almost led me to spend too much money on San Diego Bruticus. But I'm sitting here just going, like, man, I sure would like to have all three Metroplexes that are feasibly coming out for that Sun Vulcan pose. Anyway, do you guys have any other thoughts on these bullet points from Figure King number 184?
Not really. I think we ran through everything.
Yeah, thank God for the delay. August was going to kill me.
I'm in the exact same position. I'm like, that's why when
maybe
people...
maybe I'll have a job by then and be able to buy one of them.
Aww.
Hey, I've got an interview Monday, though.
Hell yeah.
So
hopefully I'll have paying regular work by then.
High five through the internet.
Yeah. I'm never really upset about toy delays as long as the toys are still going to come out. Unless it bumps them into loaded months, I guess.
So until they all delay the same amount.
Yeah.
Or staggered amounts, it all comes in 1 week.
Basically, whenever toys get delayed in a way that perfectly suits my spending schedule, I have no problem with it.
What do you mean I had $8,000 worth of toys hit my pile of loot all at once? Oh, I thought they discontinued those.
Because honestly, who saves the money that wasn't spent that month on it? Like, it'll always end up getting dropped because you're like, oh, now I have an extra $80 free. I guess I can go have that big meal.
Yeah. You know,
that's most people, I think, live in the now.
No.
True story. I'm gonna do some real talk about the human condition here. let's live in the now. Let's talk about some new picks. Omegas, tell me about a picture you want to talk about.
I suppose we have cornered off one pick. So,
yeah.
I think I go with the continued coverage of Transformers Go with our new ninja team and combined artwork.
I'm really glad that came up. I have lots of good feelings about Transformers Go.
We're getting a toy that's like some weird love child of Captain Shark and Volfog.
I think that people who are bewildered at the love some of us are showing to Transformers Go need to go back about 8 years and look at what we were all like when we were all discovering the Brave series.
Yeah.
This is like some like freaky combination. The new one is the Beast combo is like, you know, we've got something that looks like a really fat version of Dive Bomb, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the three ninja beasts, right?
The beasts, yeah.
Yeah, those, I mean, I look at those and I think immediately of Shadow Dagwon. I think immediately of Dryass. Dryass and Shadow Dagwon, it's like if you mush those two designs together. Dryass was the villain robot from Firebird. Shadow Dagwon was the ninja combiner from Dagwon. I mean, those two alone speak to me as the origins of this figure.
Somewhere in my head, I'm getting Captain Shark from Brave. I'm getting Dive Bomb. It's mostly the color scheme and the beast mode doing it, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And for the lion, I'm like getting a Zoid vibe.
I see the Zoid vibe for sure.
It's like, okay, what's our three biggest robot brands? Let's make one group that does them all.
I definitely see the Captain Shark thing in the shark, mostly because it's a shark robot with missile launchers attached to the bottom. I would contest that Captain Shark always has the biggest gun, and that guy's gun doesn't look like it's the biggest gun.
He's got more of them, though. He's got it's a huge missile rack.
He does, but the Captain Shark had the biggest gun with the most missiles. I mean, like, that's... I use Captain Shark as, like... If you're gonna be Captain Shark, you have to be the apex predator of missiles. Like, you have to have evolved a rack as big as his. But that dive bomb looking thing, the Orange Eagle, that looks so much like a bird robot from Dryas or Shadow Dagwon, just like the block with the head and the wings on it. I love that the lion not only has such a huge head, but that the huge head is most of the torso of the robot mode.
It's kind of the thing that Brave did all the time, where they just got way out of hand with how big that chest piece got.
And I love these because they look like Brave toys, but with more robot mode articulation. And I mean that as also saying that they look chunky and kibbleized as all hell in one or both modes. But I don't really mind because it's a Brave style of kibble, not like Beast Wars Neo or Car Robots. Mm-hmm. Like that bird is a brick made of two folded legs with bird parts stuck onto it. But the robot mode is posable, so I'm really into these. I'm so into these.
Yeah, no matter what I think about any of them so far, it all boils down to they're going to become a set of legs, a midpiece, and a torso. Shut up.
And, I mean, even seeing the combined forms of the Autobot team, I'm just thinking it reminded me so much not only of Brave, but of Super Link when I looked at the hips.
Yeah,
those were the Super Link Autobot combiner hips.
Right.
But I have a feeling it's going to be like those, but smoother somehow. Being 2013, like I hope. I mean, I'm ready for them to be as softly limited as those were. But I get so like this is all like retro 90s 2000s in a way, which is weird to say. But then you realize it's 2013, and that's actually a thing. And the colors too are so punchy, and I like it a lot. So these guys are also kind of, they look like they're going to be as pricey as the Autobot teams. The lion dude is nearly 6,000 yen, and the other two are 3675 yen. So do you guys think we're going to see some electronics in here?
I would hope so at that price point.
I'm guessing the lion head has some lights in it.
Lights or maybe lights and sound. Well, the combined piece of artwork that I see that's the drawing, the eyes have a glow effect on them. Mm. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think they're a little bit too complicated as they are right now to throw in anything else.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it would be easy enough to have a button cell battery pack because the lion head itself between the robot and the alt have no appearance change to it. So it'd be easy enough because the button cell LED pack is size of a quarter.
Yeah, like the lion head looks like the most immobile piece of this whole trio.
It looks like even back behind it, there could be even more that's immobile. Because the arms are the front legs. That pegs behind the main stuff, so that gives you a big area to throw all kinds of crap in there.
Yeah. Do we have a date on these yet?
Not that I've seen.
Because, I mean, they all have like 7, 8, and 9 next to them, and I'm really hoping that doesn't mean one a month starting in July. So that would be awful.
That might be.
Having one of these come out a month, that the second month would be the worst. Unless they can interact with the Samurai dudes, because the Samurai dudes are all hitting this month. Well, I mean, this month as of what?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, like 3 hours from now.
Two. Learn how to read a clock.
No, I'm saying saying let's pass the 1 a.m. mark just to be friendly to everyone.
Oh, just to be good. Okay.
Yeah.
Safety margin, because this will get done and edited and out there before it matters.
And technically, midnight to 1 a.m. I'm always feeling a little bit gray zone on which day those parts of the day are. Like, I know there's a hard line as far as a digital clock's concerned, but, you know?
You're still up from yesterday.
Yeah. Think about it. Are you guys feeling interested in these Transformers Go trios? Are they grabbing you?
They are, but that price is hefty. Like most things right now, I go and look at a dollar value menu and go, ah.
At least it's not necessarily like add 10% or 20% to it. Like yeah. The yen is in a the friendly place for us right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the rough thing is, I guess there are some places that have not adjusted their exchange rate.
Yeah.
Still, so months ago when stuff showed up with a price, they locked in conversion then.
Yeah, that's true. I got in pre-orders on these on the first three of the Samurai Dudes with Big Ben with HLJ. And apparently the listing disappeared off HLJ afterwards, so I guess I got lucky.
And HLJ, at least since it's in Japan, is going to charge you yen price when it shows up, not...
Yeah.
Right.
Omega, since you brought it up, are you thinking of going Japanese this summer?
Yeah, I don't have enough to buy right now.
Hmm.
You know, it's really grabbed me. I'm loving what they're going for here. And just how outlandish this kind of stuff is compared to the Transformers we get, you know, for Prime or the movies line or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh. It's different. You know, it's kind of that thing that kind of makes my dulled interest go, "Ooh, I'm alert. I'm awake again. Hi."
Yeah.
But oh my god, the price! It is one of those things where I'm sitting back. And I'm going, let's wait till I know how these are, and then I will make a decision.
Yeah, I was going to do that, and then when I saw those pre-orders, I kind of just felt like, oh, it's HLJ, I can cancel, let's just do it. And then we got that news that Takara Tomy, among other groups, I think there's another company in that news story, like have been suffering some losses of late. Like, they're having a kind of a down period. And I was like, I want to support this weird, crazy thing they're doing in a potentially down period. So I stuck with them. But yeah, I'm so curious how they're going to turn out. I'm not 100% confident the Samurai trio are actually going to be good. Because there's all kinds of spots on them that could go either way. It really depends on just how thoughtful the designs are. But I'm excited to see how they turn out. I hope it doesn't take till the end of the month for them to show up. So I'm getting impatient. The blood's in the water, as you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, what is your new picture pick?
I really am liking the look of the Platinum Ultra Magnus. We got some in-hand pictures. Some more in-hand pictures of him.
Yeah, is he out in Asia?
It looks like it. Because these photos look like they're taken at a toy store next to some Iron Man thing.
Hmm.
But hey, he looks very good. Kind of wish the Forge's hammer handle was a little bit longer, but looks very nice. And that I'm now looking at my other Ultra Magni going, dang it. Why'd you have to be early concept art and not final show model, you stupid thing?
Oh, you mean that? Yeah, that Voyager Magnus. I don't know what I'm going to do about that toy because I still haven't got any version of it. And I really like the look of it with the Repro label set. I really like the look of the Arms Micron Hammer Dude.
Yeah,
but I don't really want to drop full money on any of them. And now this Platinum one and the Beast Hunters Voyager both look more dynamic to me and more engaging.
Yeah. So this is one that is now getting the knuckle chew of get it or not. Especially since I think he pulls off the look about as good as it has been.
Oh yeah, I think it works on him.
Yeah.
And if only he was not so, like, if he was enormous in the show, I would just jump on this right away.
Yeah, that's the rough thing.
That's the thing that's making me stop, because I'm like, he's going to be too big.
Yeah,
and there's a perfectly fine-looking one with a removable jetpack in the actual toy line. But the Forge on this one looks better.
Yeah. And it has, like, the handle up by the head so that you can get a good like carry hold on it.
The way someone would actually carry a giant hammer.
Yeah. Yeah, not just like the end of it swinging around like a foil.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm yet another thing going on the list of stuff for Aaron to paw at but never be able to buy.
Mm.
Thanks, dog.
And Andy just goes like, "Oh."
Oh, he's been skippy after this latest chemo round.
Skippy?
New meds mean no more intestinal issues.
Oh.
That's good.
At least for this round, but hey, that's chemotherapy, not Transformers.
Well, soon we're going to have the Cybertronian oncologist Transformer, and everything can come back together again.
Here's the problem. Your CNA was miscoded.
Your cybernucleic acid is going into remission. I don't even know if that statement makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what I think about the Platinum one. It looks good, but I'm... The size and the price, now that I've seen the show, oddly enough, are putting me kind of off of it. Omegas, how are you feeling about the Platinum?
I'm really undecided. Because it does look great. I love the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get across the fact that the vehicle mode looks stupid. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't pick up the Powerizer Optimus because those clear plastic elbows scared me to death. This one has that fixed. And it still looks good, and I've never experienced that mold, so I'm still leaning toward the retail version. It's one of those things where it's pretty, you know. It's the Magnus I want, but not the Magnus I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Platinum one. I'm also waiting to see if it shows up on shelves at a Toys R Us in Canada, and seeing how much the price is there. If it's close to Christmas, etc., etc. But it sounds like it's making its way out there into the market, so those of you who have one on order, let us know how it turned out.
Yeah. Maybe send it to my house.
Then send it to Aaron. Because don't you have a heart?
Yeah.
Are you heartless?
My dog has cancer.
Oh, there you go again.
Hey. Keep hitting it if it works, man. I mean, he still has cancer.
You know what doesn't have cancer? Leo Dux. That's my new pick. I shared a link. That's why there's a long pause here. But Mastermind Creations put out the color render of the main man of the Feral Rex team, their version of Predaking. This is their version of Razorclaw, Leo Dux. And the colors look very strong and very on topic to me. It was confirmed by Griffith that the gold bits are not going to be gold plastic. That's going to be paint apps. He said that the gold parts, I'm going to paraphrase here. He said he left enough of a border around them that the gold paint should not get scratched by transformation.
That's good.
Like he tried to leave borders so they wouldn't actually get collided onto by parts that might be moving around them. I think you can see some of that border on the main.
Yeah.
There's kind of a thick line between the gold and the orange. This is the first good look I remember having of the lion mode from more than one angle. And I really like what's going on with this thing. Another thing that was said in the thread by Griffith is that the tail is black because that will mesh better with the sword. Because a red tail might have looked a bit funny if it ended up on the sword. And the big questions some folks are having right now is how the face is going to work on Razorclaw's robot mode. Specifically, is it all going to be like one red app for the faceplate and visor, or is the visor going to be a different color? This is a CAD model, basically, that is had colors applied to it in the render. So this is not necessarily indicative of like final full paint apps. But this is a pretty good look at the colors. I think they got the yellow and the red spot on. That yellow in particular reminds me a lot of that kind of very strong medium yellow from the original Razorclaw toy. And the toy looks really good. I love that the lion mode has a semblance of posability to it. Even though its proportions are kind of crazy because it has to transform a lot. I think they got some good stuff out of it. I believe it's confirmed that all of the paws, not just on this one, but like basically all the animal feet are attached via ball joints on these guys. So the animal modes can have some leg spread. And you can also see like the layered mane and how it all slides together for the robot mode and stuff like that. And that's apparently somewhere in there, the Predaking Feral Rex head is hidden inside that torso somewhere. Which makes me excited. So they've also been lots of questions about release dates and stuff, and a lot of interesting info in that thread about a potential Predaking coming from TFC as well. Possibly actually coming out or getting a toy out before the Feral Rex guys start to hit. Because apparently the Feral Rex guys, they very much want to test the toys to make sure that they will survive play, which is, I believe, the reason why Hexatron got bumped back another half month, because they found there was a squeak on it, and they wanted to fix that. Which totally makes sense to me, because right now, if you say squeak and you say third-party toy, what do you think of? You think of what's his name from Hercules and his self-stripping gears.
Yeah.
Heavy labor.
That's right. So I am totally fine with delays on these guys if it is for the reasons that are stated. And it makes me a bit less interested in a TFC Predaking. this is a bit tangential, but they also just announced the wing of the Uranos set for their version of Superion, which fixes the goofy chest plate and fixes the stupid face sculpt. It's an add-on set after the fact, and that's all cool, but now that there are companies that are instead delaying the toy's initial release to iron out problems rather than releasing them and then coming up with bits to fix them afterwards, it makes TFC feel a bit outdated to me. Like everyone knew an upgrade pack was coming because it seems to the Rage of Hercules did so well, but I don't know how I feel about that as a practice rather than as a one-time solution. Did you guys see the Wing of Uranos thing?
I believe so.
Here you go. So, I guess like to throw in one other topic on the TFC end, they're doing the Wing of Uranos, which is a little gunship. Made of missiles, pistols, and a chest plate.
Oh, yeah.
And a pelvis plate as well. Which makes the combined mode of their Uranos look cleaner and look more like something that I'm interested in, but...
Still the busy legs.
Still has the busy legs, and unlike Hercules, Uranos doesn't really look as good without this set, whereas the Rage of Hercules felt like more of an optional aesthetic alteration. This feels like a literal fix and addition of stuff that's kind of missing.
Yeah. I hate to say it, you know, considering TFC are the ones who brought us the big revolution, I guess, in the combiner third party.
Yeah.
I think they lost touch a little bit here. Like, you know, Uranos, I've seen the QC issues on the earlier figures. The combined mode doesn't look as good, and now they're kind of crazy devying themselves. Like, you know, we kind of know you want this to be more accurate, so pay a little bit more, and it can be.
Yeah, at least with this, it's being done by them, not the crazy devy problem of...
Yeah.
Make something and then slap it on and find out later that it messes things up. I would bet. I think one of my big gripes is, like I said, the busy colors. I've talked about that, you know, said plenty of that before. Mm-hmm. That just comes from them trying to take a big bite and do it all right. And it's the classic triple changer problem that we hear about of, like, you can do one you can do one thing awesome, you can do two things all right, you can do three things okay. And this is just evidence of that kind of, unfortunately, sliding down that scale. And so this way they're able to do another thing to punch up what were the problems, because they wanted it all to be from the jets and the display stands, or however they you know, called the extra parts for the feet and the fists.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, everybody's saying that, you know, our drone thing is the chest plate. Yeah, sure, that was neat, but it doesn't look like it should, and so...
But it also, as far as I've heard, unless you modify it, it legitimately barely hangs on properly. Yeah. And the thing is, I really like the idea of having all of these accessories combine into a jet, because that way it gets rid of the parts forming aspect still, because it's another vehicle. And that aspect of this whole team I kind of like, but I feel like they're really starting to walk this line of we're going to make a somewhat okay figure and then improve it with an upgrade set rather than we're going to make the Dreamwave or the IDW aesthetic Devastator and then give you this set that can turn it into the G1 aesthetic. This feels like the option is not as good on both sides. Like, it feels like without this set, it is just not as good a figure or a combined figure. I don't know. It makes me, if they are doing a Predaking and they start showing pictures of it, it makes me feel like I now need to look at all their pictures with a far more wary eye than I had before.
Yeah.
And it kind of bums me out. I feel like I can't take their toys at face value as much. I don't know.
it may be something that they just took a real big bite on and after the fact were like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah. On the bright side, I mean, like, this Wing of Uranus thing looks really cool. Like, the actual add-on set, to me, looks great, and it looks like it is a better conceived or a better executed idea than Rage of Hercules, because this add-on set actually has a self-contained mode,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. If they are doing, because Griffith has alluded that they aren't just doing a Predaking, but they're apparently doing a Predaking that's going to be taller than Hercules. I feel like if they start putting out pictures of that, I'm just going to be looking at the toys and going like, all right, where could hidden problems be in these?
Yeah.
I feel like TFC don't do the. At first, I didn't care, but now that there are not just Mastermind, but a couple companies that are actively trying to take in user feedback and actively communicate and do passes over their toys before the first production run even happens, I feel like it's becoming less and less easy to take the TFC approach of we'll put in fixes in the next toy or something like that. I would say in a smaller company, maybe that's a case of capital, but TFC's Hercules have been selling for like dead solid for the last year solid, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird. And also, where the hell are my Duocons? No one has an answer for me. I still don't think this is going to get me to go and start tracking down the Uranus dudes. I'm now just sitting here going like, yep, when the whole gift set with $100 off is available, I might think about that. But are either of you guys feeling swayed by the Wing of Uranus?
The thing is, I have zero of those members, not really.
True dat.
I stand swayedless.
There's no swayed on that man. Anyway, those are our new picture picks. As always, I've said it a million times, but maybe you didn't hear it before. Go to the Feral Rex thread and look for Griffith78's posts. They are full of very interesting information on the way that toy is being made. Hey guys, let's talk about more toy pictures. These ones were like a big bundle of them, so I thought we should set them aside. We got from Hasbro, I want to say on their Facebook page, pictures of the upcoming Predacons Rising Redeco series for Beast Hunters, which apparently is going to be a Target exclusive in the US and hopefully Canada, and a Tesco and Carrefour exclusive in Europe. So we got a bundle of these, so I guess we can just talk about them from the top down. First up, we've got a Cyberverse Commander 2-pack of Optimus Prime and Predaking. Optimus Prime is looking very Euro G1.
Yeah.
Very Euro G1, and I am feeling it. I'm feeling it a whole lot.
Not quite Thunderclash, is it? No, Thunderclash is more white.
Nah, but I mean, the palette feels like it's right there. I don't know what Predaking is doing. I don't get it. I feel like I'm missing the homage if there is one. He's got purple on him. But he looks like he's Predaking on the orange parts of his limbs.
I was trying to say, yeah, he wants to be Cryotech's friend?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I haven't checked the thread fully, so maybe I'm missing. Maybe someone is speculating that it might be R.I.D. Megatron.
No.
Here's what you do.
The color palette is there. It's just in all the different places.
Push the side of your eyeball and squint, and that's kind of Megatron.
No,
your eyeball hurts.
You need some metallic blue, and you need to ditch the red for that to be R.I.D. Megatron.
Well, he's also like this big. I mean, he's a Legends dude, not a as a deluxe. as Legend, you get more leeway.
He looks
been reduced to a squeaky toy.
He looks like three different homages, kind of, but not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully at the Hasbro panel at BotCon, someone will just ask and they will say what that's supposed to be. Because the other one is pretty clear. It's European Optimus Prime. It looks like he might even have the Elite Guard symbol on the Autobot symbol on his cap.
Yeah, he's got something.
So.
Yeah, it's like a bird or something in it.
Yeah. So that's cool.
I guess that symbol's kind of why I was looking at Thunderclash, because he had like the wings and something underneath it.
Yeah.
There's the catalog comic. Yeah.
That makes me think this is definitely meant to be like Thunderclash light. Like it's not perfect Thunderclash, but it's Thunderclash enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's one Cyberverse 2-pack. Then we also have the Cyberverse 5-pack for Abominus, and now we can very clearly see what the differences are in the plastic, which is that everything except for Blight's gray seems to be translucent, and Blight's gray may be translucent still, and just the lighting is not quite right. So, this is Stealth Abominus, this is Energized Abominus.
It's when he's invisible.
That's right. I need to get this 5-pack because once you add future floor polish to the ball joints on Hunger, and once you thicken some of the pegs that hold together the two leg modes for Rippersnapper and Blight, that Abominus is kind of a solid little thing. So I will readily get a crystal version of it. So I'm digging it. Although I also think it's weird that, like, of all of them, he's just the crystal version. Like, all the colors seem to be pretty much spot on. Like, the same. Blight is the only one that feels a little bit different. I think that the gray or smoky clear stuff on him is new. I want to say that was just more blue on the retail version.
Mm-hmm.
Also, all the weapons are switched around, I just noticed. Because
that matters in a 5-pack.
But yeah, because they come with the exact same number of weapons, but everyone is holding a different weapon than what they come with in their single pack versions. So that's kind of funny. We talked about this a little bit before, but now that we can see what they really look like, how are you guys feeling about Abominus? Like, aside from the idea of this is the only way I'm going to find half of these dudes.
Yeah. That is like a lot of clear plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It will be interesting.
I want to combine them, and I want to just like put them in front of a really big light. Go to sleep.
Combine them, put them in a corner, and then just put a clock near them. Just
I wonder what
counting down
this...
how long does it take for this to self-destruct.
Wonder all that clear how that'll look with a black light, because generally translucent plastic does crazy things in black light. That becomes your scary night light. You just put a little tiny black light LED behind it and it just glows crazy colors.
I want to do that.
You wake up, you see this odd glowing monstrosity in the corner. Your heart goes up a couple notches and you realize, oh yeah, it's just a toy.
I want to do that.
That's a way to wake up every morning.
Yeah, hell yes, it is. So anyway, now we know what the 5-pack looks like. That's a cool take on things. Then we've got, I believe he's being called Voyager Darksteel, which is the Grimwing toy, but he's done up in, I don't even know, but he's dark blue, and all of his runes have been actually painted in, which looks awesome.
That does.
And his little gun dude now has like a toucan beak. Like his, you know, the little partner guy who talks to him. I don't know what I'm going to scroll down to that dude who listed a bunch of homages. He just calls it Grimwing Redeco. Okay. So Darksteel was that was Quickstrike in Dark of the Moon was Darksteel. Yeah. That's the last time I ever, and this doesn't look like, I don't know who this is, but I don't mind.
I really don't care. This is an awesome color scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, that orange against that dark, dark blue just makes it look like it glows of its own volition.
And I mean, these are all shot on a white background. I want to know, like, maybe is that orange, like, is there, like, a fluorescence to that ink, or... If there's not, I'm not going to get angry, but... I want to know what he looks like also without the photoshopping. Like, if that blue is really that shiny, then I'm definitely tempted by that dude. But I also don't know who he is at all.
Between this and the Takara redeco, I'm going to lose so much money on this mold.
Dragons everywhere. Well, except, I mean, whatever he's called. A griff of something.
Urza Griff.
Yeah.
I'm one mammal off from my Griffin Transformer.
Can I just say, I had a funny comment on my Hunger video that just went up. Or it was either that or the Twin Strike one. Someone said... By definition, dragons are quadrupeds. If it's a biped, it is technically a wyvern. And I was like, none of them are real! How is there science when none of them are real? But
you make an interesting point. Nice. However, my counterpoint is going to be, it's all make-believe.
Oh, man. I'm just thinking what a... how much his brain would explode, because over in my Monster Hunter game, they have things called wyverns that are actually just really big wolves.
Okay, that's wrong. Because if I'm going to get scientific, here's how it works. A dragon has limbs. A wyvern has wings instead of arms. A worm has no limbs and possibly wings. That's how I've always thought of it. Anyway, enough of this, like, the science of fake dragons that don't exist. As opposed to the real dragons. No, there are no such thing as dragons!
Yes, there is. There is a Komodo dragon.
Well, except for him. But that's just a lizard who really wants people to take him seriously.
Well, his saliva is toxic. If you get a little bit of it in an open wound, you're pretty much done. I'll take him seriously.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll not pick a fight with a thing that's friggin' called a dragon.
Sounds like a good plan. Sounds like a good life lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, don't pick fights with things in real life that call themselves dragons. Because, number one, dragons don't exist. And number two, if they're badass enough to be referred to as dragons, they almost don't exist. And that means you'll lose the fight. It's simple logic.
Even if you win, you're not really winning all the way.
That's right. Someone out there is literally pounding on their desk because we were about to talk about the one that most people are talking about here. So let's get to it. I forgot the name of the base toy because I don't have it yet, but it's the blue one, the Deluxe Dragon.
Sky Stalker.
This is a redeco.
I'm correcting your names a lot this episode.
I don't remember any names of toys I don't own. It's like Grimwing, Sky Stalker. Like I mix and match those two names in my head all the time because I haven't seen. I saw a Sky Stalker for a few minutes a couple weeks ago, and it looked neat. Anyway, this is a redeco of Sky Stalker, and it is literally called Skylynx, and it's in Skylynx colors. The blue is, the red and the blue are both far more subdued, but when I stared at it for more than about 20 seconds, I saw the Skylynx in it, which has led some to speculate, is this going to still be a Predacon? He has the insignia on his shoulder, so probably. But yeah. Is he going to be, like, a noble Predacon who's, like, turned good, or what? Or are they just... Does Skylynx, you know, not necessarily have to mean good guy?
Let's see here.
What are you looking up?
Just refreshing my memory real quick.
On what a lynx is?
A lynx is the beast that has, like, wings instead of front arms, right?
Right. Now I forgot. No, Lynx is a feline.
Lynx is a cat.
Yes, because that's why Skylynx was Sky Lynx, because it's a sky bird and then a lynx that was the...
Yeah. No, what a lynx.
That was the other little thing in there.
I'm refreshing my memory. We actually have more evil Sky Lynx than heroic.
Really?
Yep. We have Sky Lynx as a Decepticon minicon.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. We have Sky Lynx from the 3D card game that was a Decepticon.
I didn't know he was in the 3D card game.
I've got him as a 3D card game. It's kind of hysterical.
Do too.
And then we've got the... Thank you, TF Wiki. We have Sky Lynx as a evil Autobot from Shattered Glass, and then one from Animated.
He's in the card game thing too. We can bring that back around.
I didn't get him.
Yeah, you had to be good at it.
Oh no, I remember that week. That was the week where I really played hard on day one, and then I forgot about it until the last 40 minutes, and then tried to play catch up from like 11,000th place.
Yeah.
The Skylynx looks pretty cool. Like it's a neat homage. I don't know the toy very well. So I don't know if I'd want to own a second one, but
the robot for me isn't all that appealing. But my God, that beast mode!
Yeah, the beast mode really carries it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's something in my twisted head that sees this like undead skeletal dragon with the rib rib cage underneath, yeah. Big skull helmet. I'm seeing this dark red as this and. Blue is this necros flesh and exposed bone tissue that's left.
Man.
You're sick in the head, but I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in my D&D head lately, so this is just kind of making me think, undead dragon.
Then.
Yeah. I want this thing.
Yeah, Skylynx looks like one that I might grab if I just see him on a shelf and I'm in the right mood. Like, I'll say, oh, Skylynx! Let's talk about the other deluxe. Nova Blast Bumblebee! And I literally didn't know what was different about him when I looked at him. He has Allspark Blue Flames on the front, and maybe a bit of Allspark Blue on the fins on the back, and his weapons are blue instead of black. Like, is that it? I don't have the Beast Hunters Bumblebee Deluxe.
He's got blue arms and legs.
So he's like the Gold Bug version, but less gold, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a very Gold Bug blue.
Like, look, you're getting these other repaints, you have to take a Bumblebee. It's contractual.
Well, no, he's single-packed. You can leave him alone.
I'm saying to the retailer.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, like, I expected him to be, like, two-packed in with someone, but no. He's by himself, which means he will probably be the shelf warmer of all of these. Do you guys have any thoughts on Nova Blast Bumblebee?
Sure is a Bumblebee.
Yep. I maintain that before 2007, the idea of a Bumblebee toy was friggin' amazing. Because in the early 2000s, the name could not be got. So I remain impressed somewhere in the back of my heart. I don't buy them, though. Anyway, there's a couple more things we can talk about here, and most of them are... wait a second, where's the one I... Oh, the picture was up here, that's why I missed it. There's another Voyager. This is the big one. Cryo-Fire Predaking. Who is pretty much Cryotech. This is the Voyager Predaking done up pretty much as Cryotech. Which makes me want to see this toy done as in red, as Transmetal 2 Megatron as well. Complete the circle.
So similar to Predaking, I don't know how that would look.
Just like get rid of all the black. Just make everything that dark violet red.
Yeah.
But the Cryotech version, doesn't really excite me as much because I've never really been a Cryotech man. I like the color blue, but Cryotech was never really part of my fandom. I never really got into the dude. I never had the toy. So it doesn't grip me the way it grips a lot of other people. But it looks very on, like they got the multiple tones of blue, so that's cool. Although it's kind of, I find it's kind of a bummer that it is just Cryo Fire Predaking, when at this point it's like, just call him Cryotech. I mean, he looks like it. But how are you guys feeling about Cryo Fire Predaking? Cryo Fire doesn't make any sense to me now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, no, it's...
No.
Ice Fire!
It looks cool. No pun intended. Came to myself now.
Let's get out.
I mean, I am starting to get annoyed the same way. Just because I remember in Cybertron, they did the same thing, and it had to be Cryo Scourge. I'm like,
yeah,
you're trying really hard to hold on to this identity thing when you're
blue's about as opposite as it gets from the red. It's a hot color, cold color. So yeah, we'll do that.
Cryo Fire.
It looks good. Like, I am a Cryotech fan. I've got the original. I've got the Cryo Scourge. You know, I'd be willing to take this one, too.
Okay. Aaron, were you ever a Cryotech man?
I had Cryotech back in the day. And probably theoretically then still do somewhere.
Theoretically.
Probably in one of the boxes of stuff at Mom's that I need to dig out.
Theoretically, I do have a... Somewhere back. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to go on to these next two, because these are the things that I'm actually more excited about than any of the Deluxes or Voyagers, which are the Cyberverse Legion 2-packs. Because these 2-packs come with the Abominus dudes in new colors. The first 2-pack is Blight and Bumblebee. Now, Bumblebee, I do like this because it's Beast Hunter's Bumblebee, and he's in the Season 3 color scheme. That is completely logical. If I were going to get... Because I don't... That's the only Cyberverse Beast Hunters toy I've skipped so far. And I'm happy now because I wanted it in the black rather than the predominantly yellow. But the Blight that it comes with, I don't have any idea why he is colored that way. And if I'm... I don't even know if I'm supposed to be figuring out a reason why. He's a very maroon red with, like, turquoise icy blue accents and, like, some silver. Do you guys see any homage in there? Because I am not catching any myself.
No.
I kind of feel like I should.
The yellow face on the robot mode made me think I'm really missing something. Because, like, that really sticks out as, like, yellow as a choice for the face feels like something that would be... That it would be there for an homage reason. But I don't know what I'm looking at. The little Blight toy I actually quite like. And these colors don't look bad. I don't get the motivation behind them, especially like keeping his name as Blight, because I wish he had a different name, because the other one does.
I wonder how much of that is just, you know, it's easy. We know that this name we have, we'll just use it rather than try and find something else that's unused. Because at one point in time, they said it costs like $5,000 to do all the lawyering needed to secure or check if they can secure a name.
Well, I mean, just pulling from the existing naming pool, even. Because, I mean, the slight spoiler, the other reused, or the other 2-pack has another Abominus guy, but he's called Cindersore. Because he's totally Cindersore. You know who this is? I think this might be Slapper. You know, from R.I.D.?
Was he?
Now, here's where I'm pulling this from. Animated Blot was redone in a new color scheme as Animated Slapper in that poster that I showed up on.
Okay.
And Slapper has the same kind of red. And I believe he has that blue on the back of the frog mode.
I think you just wanted a reference when you appeared in Animated again.
Yep. No.
Slapper is predominantly red and black. If this was Slapper, that silver wouldn't be there.
I wonder if the silver's there... As a result of, like, the... What do you call it? Like, maybe it's there due to just the way that the plastics come together. Because I believe that gray, silvery plastic they're using... Because on the shoulders, I believe it's palm plastic in there. So maybe it's a case of having to use a certain plastic color. Because the red and the blue... Now that I'm looking at pictures of Slapper toys and images... It's really starting to strike me as a possible... answer to the homage.
I'm looking at Red Beast, and I don't see anything that matches
the blue.
Exactly.
You got to see the blue on the back, or it's up on top of the shoulder of the robot mode.
Don't worry.
And also,
I can see my RID slapper from here.
Here's a picture of animated slapper that I've just shared in the chat.
Yeah.
Who has a bit of gray on him? I don't know.
That's a long way to go though for an homage. That's trying to find one, not that it is one.
I'm going to say for now that if there's any homage in there, it's probably that. If there's any homage in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to hear other people's ideas. Because I feel like it's... Given the nature of nearly every other thing in this block of photos, for this to not be an homage would be weird to me. And also I'm saying it might be Slapper because Slapper is a name that I don't think they have. So it would be costly to get a hold of. Anyway, the other two-pack is the really interesting one because that's Smokescreen and Cindersaur. This is the Legends or Legion Smokescreen, which is a fantastic little Legion toy. Done up in the G1 Smokescreen colors. Very logical. I like it. He's got the 38. He's all blue and red. And Cindersaur is the Ripper Snapper toy redone as Cindersaur. That is a perfect idea and is a perfect homage deco. That's totally spot on to the concept and the idea. And the shape of the beast mode does work for a Cindersaur. So mm-hmm. I really like this little two-pack. And between these two-packs, I also like the fact that now I have another pair of legs for an Abominus that I could stick in. Because they are Blight and Cindersaur are both Abominus legs. So now there's, like, swappable color schemes for your Abominus, which makes me really excited.
All kinds of Scramble City-ish stuff up in here.
That's right.
You're like, no, this guy, and then these guys could run after him.
The cool thing about this means that with Abominus, now you could use Cindersaur and Ripper Snapper, because they're the same mold, and now Abominus will have, like, claws on both of his feet, as opposed to just one.
And probably able to stand upright.
The normal one can stand upright, it's weird, because... He has, like, toes on one foot, and then his other foot is a stump with claws on the bottom, and it's, the flat spots are, like, you kind of have to have one leg forward and one leg back for it to be flat on the ground. But, I'm kind of into that. These Legion 2-packs really do it for me, because they're using some very good molds. I guess that the fact that almost no one else has Blight and Ripper Snapper... Not just you guys, but like almost no one I know has gotten them. That's going to kind of limit the discussion on this two-pack because experience with the toy isn't there. But do you guys have any other thoughts on these two little Legion two-packs?
It amuses me that Smokescreen has now been painted as almost every iteration of Smokescreen ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this that covers almost all the gamut of the car Smokescreens, doesn't it? Like he's.
I want to say yeah.
That's the G1, the alternator, the one that he actually is in the show,
right? If they manage to work in, if they actually manage to work in the G2 one, I'll be very impressed.
Like, or you mean like Smoke Jumper Smokescreen?
Yeah,
yeah. I was just thinking like, just do them up like that. Use the Cyberverse ports on the sides of the vehicle mode to stick some wings in.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? Oh, no. What did they do? The repaint of his Cyberverse vehicle.
The shuttle! I forgot about that! Which, by the way, I am now starting to eye entirely because the Smokescreen in it is... Now I understand why he's yellow and blue. I mean, it's a big, dumb Cyberverse vehicle, but it has a good Smokescreen in it.
That's when you know it's wormed its way into you.
Hey, Aaron, did you see the listing for the Legion-sized Jet Viacon?
Yes, I did. I had 5 or 6 people hit me on Facebook and Twitter for it. And then I had a thorough discussion with Mirai about our competition. And I'm like, we're not going to do this again, are we? We aren't, are we?
Hey, Aaron, no? I'm gonna beat you this time.
Have fun.
No, you say have fun now, but eventually it will worm its way into you.
I'll be good. I'm pretty sure I will.
Uh-huh. How many times did you say you were done?
Yeah, that's true. However, yet again, the dog cancer shows up.
These are $5 toys. These are expenses that are easy to forget, that are easy to just throw over your shoulder. Very easy to be, you know, you're at a Target anyway, and you see, you know, one sitting there like, well, I'll throw another. I'm already buying, you know, some Crisco and some butter and some bacon. I don't
use that much fat in things, but okay.
You know, you pad all your cooking with Crisco, butter, and bacon and Pam. So you got all that in your cart, and then you're like, hey, smokescreen. Smokescreen, Jet Viacon.
Smokescreen. See, even you can't taunt correctly.
I'm looking at all these smokescreens. I'm distracted by smokescreen. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Let's move on to the last Commander 2-pack, which is Hard Shell and Shockwave. Only Hard Shell is now called Bomb Shock, which is a much better name to use for this than Hard Shell. Like mm-hmm. That's the name that I think they should have been calling this guy in the first place. So this is the weird thing. So this is Hard Shell as Bomb Shock. This is the Hard Shell toy done up in a color scheme that's much closer to Barrage, you know, the green and yellow Insecticon. Except that the existing Commander Hard Shell was already a whole lot like Barrage. He was a muted green and yellow. So I'm not really into this at all, because this is just more green Insecticons.
What amuses me about this is that because of that incidental color change they made to the first release for Hard Shell, that mold is now homaging both versions of Energon Insecticon.
Yes, it is. And it still doesn't look anything like the show! Like, I don't know, with Cyberverse toys, I feel more picky about stuff like that for some reason, because they're so, you know, small, and another run of them doesn't seem as unrealistic. Like, it's up to Takara now. It's up to Takara Tomy. Give me my show color Insecticon, please. Thank you. And he's in a 2-pack with Shockwave, and this is a cool idea. This is the Commander Shockwave toy, and it's just done up in G1 colors. So it's got a brighter pink chest window, it's got a yellow eye, and I like that idea. Like, that's I keep saying it, and it's especially funny here, but it's a very logical way to repaint Shockwave that doesn't make Shockwave look weird.
Yeah, I thought the first version of this Commander Shockwave looked more like G1. This kind of looks more just show accurate to me.
Well, in the show, he doesn't have the yellow eye.
Oh, other than the yellow eye, but every Shockwave should have a yellow eye.
I'm okay with the Prime one. Like, the Sobolov, and whoever... Who was it that voiced him in the game again? It just slipped... Steve Bloom. Steve Bloom, Sobolov, yeah. Shockwave. I've come to accept as being the red-eyed one, because he's the one who's not British. So it's like, somehow being American has made him lose that hint of color. But this 2-pack is cool also because this is one of those things where the 2-pack is not a fight. It's Shockwave and it's an Insecticon. And it's a very
maybe
Fall of Cybertron thing even. Wait, maybe? What do you mean?
Maybe there will be a fight.
I mean, like, Bomb Shock is the rogue Insecticon?
Yeah.
Bomb Shock and Skylynx, the rogue.
Yeah.
Ooh. And just briefly, the last thing listed here is that ultimate-sized Predaking, Beastfire Predaking. Is he only going to be at Target? Or
I think so. I thought that those ultimates were Target exclusive.
Okay, I forgot about that part.
Because it was him and then the Halo Aura Prime, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept hearing back and forth whether or not they're going to be mass-release or Target exclusive. I know they're completely different size boxes, so I figured something was going to be up with them.
I think they're Target... Like, if I'm recalling correctly now that it's been mentioned, I think they were Target exclusives. And in Australia, they showed up in Toys R Us, because Australia is a different area of distribution, and they sometimes just get things there. And as far as I heard, the two toys were actually kind of disappointing. Like, keeping your expectations rooted because they're the big gimmick toys. Apparently they were actually not all that amazing. But I didn't really read through coverage too deeply, so I'm totally ready to be utterly wrong. Do you guys have much interest in the big Predaking?
Yeah.
If I didn't already have Predakings, then yeah. However, it's just getting tapped out.
I want a big Predaking because he's so freaking big in the show, and that is a pretty Predaking.
Mm.
It depends on how monies are doing when I find him.
Yeah, I'm hemming and hawing on the Predaking, mostly just for the dragon mode, because I like the Voyager, but that's another one where I also think he's not going to be hard to find eventually for a lower price, and I don't love him enough to want to get him at his base price.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that takes us through all those Target exclusives. Were there any other thoughts you guys want to drop on them that we might not have hit yet?
I'm good.
That runs through it all.
All right. I maintain.
And it just started raining like crazy.
Yeah, I heard that.
Been waiting on this all day.
Oh, dear. Are you going to get a tornado as well?
I hope not. But This is the same system that spun one out in Oklahoma. Granted, that's quite a ways away, but hey, anybody in Oklahoma, hi, good luck.
What's up?
Even though it's a week past or whatever.
Yeah.
Hope things went well for you.
Well,
weather, huh?
Tornado or not, let's do a listener question.
Okay.
We got one from Titan Diego 2 on YouTube, who says, "Hello, once again, even team. Did I get it right? Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, good." So he's putting the crosshairs on both of you.
Well, yeah, actually, the crosshairs would be on you because you're the one that picks the.
No, he said even team question. In the beginning, so it's.
Well, right,
it's on him.
But if you were reading this to the odd team, then that would be your fault.
Well, yes. So I'm saying he's put you in the sights.
Okay.
He is specifically wants to
talk to the good team.
Interrogate you both. So he says, "I, the Titan Diego 2 Slayer of the Titan Diego 1, have come back to you with another listener question, but don't worry, this time it's just a simple one. A couple of years ago, you got a question about what figure you would try to save in case of a fire. He has a similar question that goes like this. If there was some kind of accident, fire, tsunami, hurricane, or mare poto, I don't know what that is, but also, we're just talking about a tornado potentially touching down. You lose all of your toy collection and only your toy collection. So your toy collection is gone. What figures will you buy again first? And what figures or lines will you just avoid?" And he says something about an off-topic version of this as well. So I guess we could just leave it open. Just toys in general. He personally would try to find all the Ultra and Leader Optimuses and Megatrons and the figures they combine with, and avoid the Prid line so he doesn't buy a Viacon army over again. He says, he apologizes for his English. It's fine, I can parse it. Goodbye and a big happy 2013 from all the fans here in Chile. All three of us. So yeah, I guess the question is, you lose your toy collection. What do you buy again first, and what do you decide to let remain destroyed?
I have to say, I think Mari Poto is the president of Chile, if I'm parsing Google correctly.
So the president of Chile just comes in and takes your toys and leaves?
Apparently he's a natural disaster or something.
Well, you know, we try not to get political here, so, you know, please avoid discussions of the president of Chile in thread.
Unless he's a real big jerk, in which case we
could let it slide, I guess, for a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aaron, what would you buy again, and what would you decide to let stay gone?
I would probably let a lot of my collection stay gone.
Mm.
Because I've got boxes and boxes of deluxes and things of that nature that were just like, get it so that I can have it because I had that collection or that completionist streak for a while, and I've had all of these pathos collecting, and I don't need all of that anymore. Things that I would get, I'd probably get a bunch of RID back because that is still, like, as a line among my favoritest out there. Especially Omega Prime all combined together. It's just like art in toy form. Other toy lines, it'd be Lego
and that's quasi-universal.
You just rebuy all the Lego. And,
yeah. No, just, it's brick, and you can play around with brick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, toy line would be RID. Individual toys, man, I don't know. Like I said, that Omega Prime would be a good cornerstone of any collection, and it's going on, crap, like 13, 14-year-old toy now. Mm-hmm. And it still is a good toy.
All right.
So, yeah.
And, yeah, I guess nothing specific that you just feel you'd actively avoid. You just probably just not buy a lot of it again.
Yeah. I mean, and that's still a problem that I occasionally have of like, ooh, I've not played with this mold. I need to go buy it. And then afterwards, it's like, hey, I played with this toy for 20 minutes. That sure is a good spend of $60.
Leader Ironhide.
Oh, God. Twice. No, not twice.
No, you did do the USA edition or whatever. Asia exclusive.
Yeah. I just got the same one twice, that's all.
Omegas, what would you seek out first to get again if a natural disaster claimed it all?
Probably for the reasons I mentioned all on this podcast throughout its history. Mostly the Cybertron line I'd probably seek out again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff I have for sentimental value, and even if I were to replace it, it would never have the same value to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the one my grandmother gave me. It's not the one that I grew up with or anything like that.
Yeah,
the Cybertron toy line I just had a lot of fun playing with. It's still where my favorite Transformer lies, with Optimus Prime, who would easily be the first thing I went after. And beyond that, there's easy answers to that. I'd probably try to reclaim my Botcon 2010 toys as being the only Botcon I've been able to go to. Mm-hmm. My Star Saber, of course, that all that. As far as ones I'd avoid, there's a lot of toys I have that I don't regret buying for the experience of them, but I hold no loyalty to them. Mm. And mostly that comes from the movie series, where it's just exhaustion at that point. Where I feel like if I woke up and all those were gone, I'd miss a couple. But nothing really beyond that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, a single toy I'd want to get again, honestly, I think would also, in my case, would be Galaxy Force Optimus Prime, or Convoy, Galaxy Convoy, because I'm saying Galaxy Force Optimus Prime because I was actually looking for one, because I wanted to have that mold here again, and I don't want to have it dug out and sent from the West Coast, because mm-hmm. it's a very good toy. As far as, like, standalone Optimus Primes with lots of play value, I agree, I think it is still king, debatably king. Depending on your tastes, but it does so much all by itself that it's a very impressive piece even to this day. And I think I'd probably also just rebuy all of Animated over again. That'd probably be the first thing I go for. And this is ignoring the fact that I would probably just go out and buy everything that I already have that's on shelves right now, because that's the way my brain works. It's all gone. I want Transformers. Go to the store and just buy a couple that I liked from now, like the Triple Changers, yeah. Easy example. Like,
oh yeah, right.
And
that's a
given, I think, that what's on the shelves now would be part of the rebuy if it were to happen. Anything that I'd actively avoid would actually probably be weird Japanese stuff, like Music Label and Sports Label. Also, Robot Masters. Just things that I bought because they were Japanese. A lot of them I ended up not really caring about all that much. Yeah, I don't know. That's my answer off the top of my head. So, just briefly, on off-topic stuff, of all the non-Transformer things I have, I think one of the first things I try to track down again would just be another set of the Weaponeers Amunkka, and another Foxbox Hades. Those are pinnacle play toys and pinnacle display toys as far as non-Transformer stuff goes. And I would probably let all of my hero clicks remain not in my possession anymore, because that went too far.
Are you looking to get rid of them?
Yeah, actually. I have an enormous number of them back on the West Coast that I still have to catalog.
Oh. My local comic shop, apparently that's their weird toy edit crossover. So I might be able to get you $5 out of a whole giant box of them.
Nah, I don't know. I have rare ones. I should be making at least $20. I have Kingdom Come Superman.
Get me a list, and I'll see, or an approximate list, and I'll see what I can do.
To be honest, a lot of the rare ones I'd probably end up keeping. Like specifically, Kingdom Come Superman, HeroClix I would keep because of the story of how I got it. Spider-Man 2099 HeroClix I'd keep because it's Spider-Man 2099. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch I could get rid of, but there's some that are still close to my heart. The City of Heroes, City of Villains ones will never leave my possession, especially now. They're like one of my last mementos of that world.
I'm still clicking around.
Oh, man, that whole thing is still buzzing in my head. There's always new information popping up now and then of just how dark and nasty that business was when it went down.
Yeah.
Although, on the bright side, this is all especially thanks to Stan, Nurse Midnight, who is is still staying very close to the Titan Network, more so than I am. Back when the game shut down, within weeks, someone got the costume creator back up as a standalone application. That same person did some tremendous coding, and now you can not only get the costume creator back up, you can now log into one of the starter zones. There's going to be no enemies, and the only powers you have are walking or flying around. And then the only emote you get, I think, is holding up a torch. But that's kind of amazing, because it means that, like, a chunk of the world is accessible again. So, that's your City of Heroes update. Still bummed out about that. And that's, I guess, that answers the listener questions. Thank you, Titan Diego 2. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and possibly have a very short what we got this week, and then we're going to have a spoiler section. So hang on to your hats and get into your brand new cars. Vroom, vroom. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, 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 zoom. We're back, and Aaron's got some backup there for if the tornado does touch down.
Yeah. Last time, Andy Rue went to the upstairs bathtub, which I was trying to tell him, no, you're supposed to go to the bottom floor. And he was just going, aah. So.
There are bad things coming. Well, you know, if the tornado does touch down, that means there's a couple of you up there, so you can all simultaneously drop kick it, and that's how you make tornadoes go away.
No, that's not how it works.
Yes, it is. I saw it in a movie. Hey, let's talk about what we got this week.
Okay.
Omega's Prime, did you get any Transformers this week?
Not a one.
I didn't either. So it's all up to you, Aaron. Did you get any Transformers this week?
I got the Legends, or whatever they're calling that price point now, Optimus Prime and Bumblebee.
In Generations, it's called Legends.
Okay. Along with Autobot Roller, who's his own dude,
mm-hmm.
And Blazemaster, and yeah.
I was trying to find those the other weekend, and I could not. That's not English.
No, but you understand. They're not very great.
They're
all right at best. They're slightly better than base Legends, and their Target Masters are poor, in my opinion. I'm not. This is a case where Aaron going, oh, hey, I haven't seen these, and bid on it without looking at reviews.
I looked at reviews, and then
for the price point, it seems a little bit salty.
Is it like $10?
It's, yeah, 10, 11-ish.
Yeah, the Optimus and Bumblebee looked like they were perfectly good, like, commander toys.
Not quite.
Oh, really?
They're a little bit shorter, a little bit smaller.
Because they look jointed enough.
And they're that level of jointing, yeah, but they're a little bit smaller. I had a problem, and even just getting Bumblebee out of the package, both of his arms popped off, and then one of his shoulder wheels that just kind of pegs in popped off and disappeared, and I had to dig through a chair in order to dig it back out, and that one now just a little bit of lateral pressure, and out it pops. Just there's a whole lot that close but no cigar on quite a bit. Plus, like Bumblebee's back bumper, the back of the vehicle ends up with an odd like texture to it, kind of like the animated Bumblebee. If you took that and kind of chopped up the backside, is a very close approximation to how this Bumblebee seems to turn out. That and then the Target Master partners, while I thought it was a neat concept, are pretty straightforward blah.
I wasn't expecting much out of those from any of the pictures we saw. Like, they looked like G1 toys almost.
Yeah, they're slightly better than G1 Target Masters were, but because they figured out a little bit more with joints that you don't need to have 8 inches of plastic around it.
But, yeah.
Man, I would have liked, like, for the Blazemaster, I would have liked if you could have, like, the collapsing helicopter blades that they've done with a ton of other four-bladed helicopters where you can kind of, like, click it back together.
Yeah.
Just because it limits, you know, when you have it up, the extra bit of helicopter blade gets in the way. There's just a whole lot of not-quites, in my opinion, at least.
Let me ask you...
And then the other thing I was going to say that I have issue with is Prime. He has this really neat thing where his windows come apart and you see the Autobot logo, and that's kind of cool, but there's nothing to keep it like that.
Yeah, it doesn't lock, right?
It doesn't lock. It would have been nice if, like, when you have the head up, because you have to pull the head up out of the cab, it would have been nice if the platform that was on had more width to it than the, like, the back of his head. That shows up.
I was going to ask
keep
you,
it
like,
spaced out.
I was going to ask you, what do you think solutions would be to bring at least the Bumblebee and Optimus up to par?
The Bumblebee would need maybe a flap to round out the back of his alt mode, and pins for the shoulder wheels. I think would go a long way for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because Bumblebee isn't bad. I think Bumblebee's problem,
making you think.
Yeah. Removing the pegs on the back of his, in the back of his knees that give him only like a 30-degree knee bend. That look like they're pegs. Yeah, they're pegs that peg his windshield down to the back of his shin, or the back of his knee, that are in the channel of the knee joint, so that it just limits his knee articulation.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been able to be moved to a different location, so it wasn't killing that. Bumblebee, it's more that he's at the price point that he's at. Like, a buck or two difference would change my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I thought they were going to be... For some reason, I thought they were going to be more like $8, like a...
At $8, I'd feel better.
Okay.
But yeah, with Prime, I think if they had the platform that his head sits on, if that was wider to keep his chest forced open at least, because his chest piece, because of the way that it's connected, can pivot huge and be wide open, and you're looking at like chest internals, but there's nothing that keeps it. I mean, there are two places where it catches, but I think that's actually his shoulder catching super exposed, because the way he transforms, basically you put the backs of his shoulders against each other, and then the cab parts kind of float over it. But you can have him totally posed with that chest plate closed up, and he looks better with the Autobot logo exposed, and there's just nothing that keeps it that way, which is kind of a bummer. And then his gun, he comes with a rifle that looks very much like a legend-sized version of Optimus Prime's rifle, and then Roller kind of turns into a gun, and you put his rifle on top of that. So it's kind of a double target mastery thing, but it's a whole lot of interesting idea, but you know, why did you include this other gun if you have a dude that turns into a gun for just like plastic part count value? I don't know. A lot of I don't know on these.
That's a shame that they didn't stack up very well for you.
Yeah.
Has that tempered your anticipation at all of the Megatron and Starscream?
Yeah, it has.
Mm.
It might be, instead of a, ooh, it might be a, oh crap, I got nothing else for the podcast style purchase, and buy one. Because I think another part of what made me jump on both of them was just I hadn't seen them, then all of a sudden saw them and got in that bad cycle I have. But the listeners, you listeners, get something out of it.
Yeah.
What not to do with your life.
I'm still interested in them, because I there's aspects of them that I still like the look of. But
yeah, they're toyetically is a word that we've come up with and use a lot. They're not great. In my opinion, at least. It just
this at least validates,
feels like a step down.
This validates my idea of I saw them go up online and said I don't really feel I need to pay like online prices for these. They don't excite me that much, and it sounds like that was the right decision to make.
Yeah.
Ah, how sobering. Well, thanks for the report. Did you get anything else on topic this week?
On topic, negative.
All right. Well, let's slide over to Off Topicsville. It's a light Transformers week. Clearly, we're no longer fans.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about what I got off topic, because I have stories about all of it. So, do you guys remember the Iron Man 2 toy line, the 4-inch toy line?
Vaguely.
Kinda.
Okay, do you guys remember the hammer drones that were all kind of hard to find?
Yeah, that were impossible to find unless you bought the Walmart, or the Toys R Us 3-pack?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was that had two drones and one other dude that we couldn't get to sell.
Back in the day, I found the drone with the weapon, like the chainsaw whips.
Mm-hmm.
I found it at, I forgot if it was at a Toys R Us or at a Winners, which the Winners is a liquidation store. So I got that one, and then I got that 3-pack with the Marine drone. And then I kind of fell off of the Iron Man 2 thing. So I went to a Five Below last weekend, and they had Iron Man 2 toys there for $3 a piece. And lo and behold, I found an Air Assault drone. The Air Assault drone, I'm going to send you guys a picture of it. Podcast listeners can just look it up. It's the silver one with the backpack. Mm-hmm. So I found one of those for $3, and I felt like a winner. Opened them up. Looked at all the... Like, number one, the hammer drones were huge for the price point. They're enormous. Number two, I forgot what a good old-fashioned 2011-era 4-inch tall Hasbro toy was like. Like, it's got nice joints everywhere, it feels robust. But I also forgot the Iron Man 2 syndrome of all the joints are a gummy plastic that bend inward the wrong way from the packaging. So he's got a knock knee. I forgot about the Iron Man knock knee. So I fixed it with hot water and then cold water, and over the course of the day after I did that, it slowly bent itself back into a knock kneed position. So I need to work on that a bit. He's very accessory light. He just comes with a quote-unquote removable jetpack, which just kind of bulks out his back and doesn't really look like a jetpack. He's definitely, like, not as exciting as the weapon assault drone with the chainsaw whips. That's still the best one, I think, for the bang for your buck. But this one just looks really nice. And now I believe that between this and then the other two, I've got all three of the drones they put out, if I recall correctly. I don't remember if they had the missile launcher drones.
I think they made all four.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to find the missile
drone.
Because
the missile launcher drone was the Marine. Or, no, the Navy.
Yeah, Navy drone.
Where he had the six-pack on each shoulder.
Yeah, okay, I need to find that one still. That was the one packed with Nick Fury, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Eh. I don't know, it just gave me a real nostalgia, short-term nostalgia feeling for that Iron Man 2 4-inch line. Because I mean... I wasn't super into Iron Man, but something about the way the 4-inch line was done made me nearly go completist on it. Like, I have nearly every figure from that line. Some from the very hard-to-find final waves, even. I think the only ones I'm really missing are, like, the Whiplash armor and, like, their version of the Mandarin. Anyway, that was just a nice little nostalgia pang. At the same Five Below, they also had Monsterpocalypse for $3 a box, and they had one box from All Your Base, which had the Megamorpher monsters, which were four small units that would combine into a large monster. So I bought that box, and it had the Martian Megamorpher in it. So that was kind of cool. But then, while I was also in the States, I went to a Lego store and actually bought some Legos for myself this time. So they had the new Galaxy Squad stuff. They had the Eradicator mech, and I wanted it. But then they had a thing going on where if you spent $50, you'd get an Iron Man baggy with a flying weapon drone. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that. So to get up to the $50 level, I grabbed the other new, like less expensive Galaxy Squad thing and got the Crater Creeper. The Galaxy Squad bug vehicles I generally do not like. I think a lot of them look really stupid, but the Swarmer looks good, and that new big crawler thing looks pretty good, and the Crater Creeper kinda looks good. So I'll see how I feel about it afterwards.
The Hive Crawler is on my hit list, because that is an interesting thing, at least.
Yeah. Like the Hive Crawler looks really cool, and the Swarmer is gorgeous, but...
And it launches those little bug bombs.
Yeah. But all those mid-range ones in, like, the $30 to $40 range, they all are terrible. Like, just aesthetically terrible. And they don't stack up to the vehicles that the Galaxy Squad guys have at all. Like,
yeah, the vehicles seem like they have a whole lot more oomph to them than... I'm sitting here right now looking at the Star Slicer, which is, like, the Praying Mantis-looking thing. And it's like, it's just spindly Technics pieces with other pieces bolted on to make it look thicker. What's $40 in that?
I would rather buy four Space Swarmers than one of those and just have more Space Swarmers. Like, display-wise, it feels better, even.
Yeah, because at least the Space Swarmer at the $12 price point, it's like a little ravenous bug pod thing that looks great in a swarm. I have three of them, and they look great as a unit.
The cool thing that I find about Galaxy Squad is, like, even though I'm skipping a lot of those, you know, bug-centric sets, I still have a lot of bugs because you get a cool bug thing with every normal set as well, and vice versa. You get a cool little Galaxy Squad dude with every bug set. So it all balances out. So anyway, I haven't built those yet, but... Okay, here's my real story. Yesterday, I found out a new LEGO store opened just north of where I live, at the Yorkdale Shopping Center. So I decided to go there by myself. This is the first time I've gone to a LEGO store all by myself. Usually, I have a handler. In this case, I didn't, so I went in there. Really big LEGO store. It's one of the biggest ones I've ever seen. And completely empty, because very few people go to Yorkdale in the middle of the afternoon. There were four people working in there. For some reason, my brain would start to automatically process everyone working in there as DIFAs. And then when I saw they weren't...
Is that operant conditioning?
It was just like, they all sort of partly had his cadence, and I know he works at a Lego store, so I kept going like, DIFA? No. So I was really kind of, I was wigged out a little bit, because they just, they were all like semi-DIFAs. Anyway, while I was there, I bought a set that I really wanted to buy, because I just saw Iron Man 3 the other weekend, and after seeing it, Mandarin became my favorite thing out of the movie. So I had to get the Iron Man versus the Mandarin Ultimate Showdown set.
Okay, now we're going to talk spoilers about Iron Man 3?
We're going to talk... I will...
As they pertain to this, at
no,
least?
No, I will... Okay, we're
Because, I mean, that's a pivotal scene.
Yeah, we're gonna talk spoilers about it, in the sense that we're going to talk about how the ending of the movie was so good because the direction and effects work on the Mandarin's flame-throwing 4x4 was amazing. And that was such a pivotal scene.
Seemed like Tony spent an hour in the Heartbreaker armor.
Yeah. Like,
because this is the only place to get that armor.
Yeah.
Or the artillery level fusion something something armor.
And you know, the Heartbreaker was basically the Mark VI of this movie. So and the Mandarin's, you know, flame throwing missile launching ATV was like the Ironmonger of this movie. So getting this little set was, you know, this is just a dream come true, because I don't need anything else now. I've got the best part of the movie in my hands. I built it last night. It's a really nice little compact vehicle. It's really thick with parts. It's got a lot of these sloped parts. On the back, there's a sloped part that is one big slope. And I was like, I thought Lego wasn't all about using one big part on a part of a vehicle.
Yeah.
I got all aggro for a second. Also, I think the little steering wheel on it is hilarious.
Lego steering wheel. Everything else is smooth and slick. This is one thing that's just like left and right.
Little steering wheel just jacking straight up out of the front of the thing, and it's bright yellow.
Well, I mean, it's screen accuracy.
I know, but still, like on a smaller level, when you don't have all the tech detail that was on it, yeah, in the movie, it's a different thing. You know, there's a cool ratchet joint for the flamethrower. It's got a hose, and mine came with two hoses. And yeah, according to Aaron, that's not the usual spare part you get with it.
Mine didn't come with two hoses. It's only supposed to only come with one. Sometimes those things get doubled up because it all gets measured by weight.
Yeah, so I
that's
got
how they measure out parts. So they go, is this hoses, the weight? And if the machine's not sure it's the weight, it kicks out another one.
I got light hoses, clearly. And the little Mandarin is a great minifigure. Although I'm tempted by the Malibu set only because it has a caped Mandarin, and I want both Mandarin minifigures.
I have purchased yet have not built that set. That's what I did with the portion of my birthday money that I was allowing to fund things and not bills. Mm-hmm. Was I got that for myself? Just because it also has like the spots for the mark. For the other armors, for the Mark, what is it, the 5 and 6, or no, 6 and 7 that came out in the Avenger sets beforehand, along with you get a dummy.
Yep.
Best part of that, best minifigure in that set.
I'm always looking at it, kind of tempted. The bummer about having a Lego store here is even though it's local, I'd rather just go to the American one I visit every couple weeks, because Canadian Lego prices are terrible.
Yeah, what is that price differential, like 20% or so?
Enormous. The Vermin Vaporizer is like $80 here.
Cool.
It's $20 up. What's the one above it? The orange set. What's it called?
The Bug Obliterator?
Yeah, the Bug Obliterator is $100 here.
Oh.
The smallest architecture sets are $25 here.
That's like Toys R Us prices, man.
Yeah, and the nice... I say nice. The quote-unquote nice thing is that as far as LEGO VIP points go, you get more points for buying them as well. Like, you get that many points. So rather than, like, if I buy a $50 set in America, I'd get 50 points, and if it's $70 over here, I get 70 points kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but still, that's... Your VIP points don't transfer... It's... Or, they not transfer, but they don't scale up that well.
Yeah, I know. So it's
buying a small thing, you know, like a $20 set for $25. That's not so bad.
The Mandarin versus Iron Man thing was like $4 up.
Yeah,
so that was fine because I was like, whatever, it's local. I'll support it. But yeah, anything above $20 is just ludicrous to buy in a Canadian store if you have any means to get to an American one, which is a big shame. I didn't check the Pick-A-Brick stuff, but they did have a Pick-A-Brick jar full of white steering wheel blocks. Which made me laugh.
Yeah, one thing that I've learned in pick-a-bricking is while it's really neat that you can get a bunch of these specialty pieces, how often you need a steering wheel. It's like you need 5 steering wheels, maybe 10 if you do a whole lot of vehicle building, and then there's no point in filling every nook and cranny with steering wheels because how many steering wheels do you need?
Yeah. But the culmination of this weird story was on my way back. I was all like, I went to the Lego store and no one knows. And I'm standing on the subway, just off in my own world, holding a bright yellow Lego bag. And then I realize a dude's trying to get my attention. So I kind of like, I'm kind of spaced out. So I'm like, huh? And I look over and the guy's like, nah, no. And I'm like, wait, what'd you say? I didn't hear you. And the guy's like, are you Evangelist? And I was like, oh no. So I said, yes. And the guy says, I didn't know you live in Canada. And then immediately had to get off the subway because it was his stop. So I was like still in a daze. And I was like, send me a message on YouTube. And I haven't heard back from him yet. So I need to make a vlog calling out to this person to apologize for barely being like interactable. But that was interesting. And it also means that I was I was officially caught coming out of a Lego store experience. And so I decided I may as well just post about it, because now I can't keep it a secret anymore. So I went to a Lego store by myself, unsupervised. Don't tell my mom.
Okay.
Don't tell my family, because
you went to the store by yourself.
Yep.
Did you remember to bring back your bag of milk?
They offered to sell me a brick separator, and I don't have a brick separator. So I said, okay, I'll buy your brick separator.
It's a good purchase.
It's really cool, because I forgot that the new ones are all crazy and sleek and multi-tools, because all the brick separators I ever had were from the 90s.
The big, fat, gray or green.
Yeah.
Like, weird texture on the bottom.
Yeah, but I also somehow felt like a jerk, because I was like, oh, now I'm the person who bought a brick separator.
No, do not feel like a jerk. The brick separator is, I don't think one came in the Eradicator mech. No, I know one didn't come in the Eradicator mech. So, yeah, generally you have to go to, like, the $70 plus range before one gets dropped in. So you're not swimming in them like I am at this point.
All right. Yeah, I keep looking, even in the States, the USA Lego stores, I keep looking at all the modular city and the architecture things. And they look really cool. Mm-hmm. But architecture, I just can't deal with the prices.
Yeah, architecture, it's lower production and have to have, like, licensing fees and...
Yeah.
And it's a lot of small pieces.
And the modular city stuff, it all looks cool. It's just, I have no room for that stuff. So then I saw the mini modulars and I was like, oh, cool. And then I flipped over to the price tag and I was like, nope. And yeah. Put it back, because it's like $80.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. It doesn't look like it's $80.
It is, though. It's a whole lot of little pieces.
Ugh.
And a lot of sideways building and weird fun stuff.
Have you had hands-on experience with the mini modulars?
Yes, I do. It was the first of the modular things that I purchased.
Oh, they were the gateway drug.
Yeah, that was after seeing it in Texas. I think it was, who bought that? Was that Boardwise that bought that? Somebody bought it.
Hmm.
And after that, it became a ooh.
I don't know what I would do with the mini modulars. Like, they look fun, but I thought, like, for $50, I would just grab it, I think. But for $80, I feel like if I'm crossing the $50 threshold, why don't I just keep waiting and then be the fool who goes, like, I'm just going to buy the Palace Cinema because this won't lead to anything. And...
Well, I can tell you the Bug Obliterator comes with a brick separator, and I'm going backwards down prices.
What about the Vermin Vaporizer? Because I've almost bought that like 50 times.
Let me look at the parts list.
Oh, that Lego store also had the Vampire Mausoleum car on sale for like $35.
Ooh.
And I was like, I don't need to get into another theme.
And then Vermin Vaporizer does not appear to have one.
And they have a new castle. And back in the West Coast, I have the Black Knight Castle in a box somewhere.
Okay.
And I like that castle. They have new castles. Anyway.
Yeah, Castle is a new theme this year, so.
Is it any
good? Or a returning theme.
Is it any good this year?
I don't know. I've castle's not in my bag.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm like modern day and future stuff.
I'm going to step away from all this, because now I'm just getting into hypotheticals, which I don't need to get into. I still have to build Lego sets that are in a box over there, an Eradicator mech with its nuclear disc.
Yeah.
Let's bump over here. Omegas, you mentioned in the pre-show you got a thing with a story as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still part of this podcast. And forget sometimes.
Hey, maybe if you bought some Lego, like all the cool kids do.
Hey, I don't.
You could talk Lego with us.
Listen, I don't capital B, capital L, buy a Lego. You know, I pop in a shop and I picked up a set because I liked a movie. That's all that happened. I don't buy Lego. You know.
Uh-huh.
The difference. I taste Lego. I pick and choose. Tell me about the thing you got.
This comes with a little bit of a backstory that is required. I'm going to link this eBay auction so you can see this. There's a toy line out of China called Robo Revolution that I've been really curious about ever seeing after seeing this one named Polar Light, which is this really cool looking robot, really beefy, you know, kind of my kind of aesthetic going.
Oh!
Except it turns into a tank, your traditional like Transformer style H tank, and a scorpion.
It's friggin' cool.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. And I was talking to Griff from the boards, and he picked one up, and he really liked it, so I thought, okay, let's give this a shot. And then 3 weeks go by, waiting for this thing to come out of China, and this is where we get back to the mailman, who is now rotting in a hole in the backyard.
I did that to the one that kept drift away from me for months.
I think I found out why he didn't want me to have the box, or why he didn't bring it to the doors, because he was probably ashamed that it looked like it had been through, like, a baseball game.
Oh, he's one of those mailmen.
Well, I don't know. You know, and hopefully he will never be around again, so I will never find out. But this, you know, when I went to go pick it up, this thing was beat to hell.
Mm.
You know, just, you know, the toy inside was fine. For starters. But through all that mess, through the 3 week wait, I open this thing up. I don't have a blue tank waiting for me. I have this green block of plastic that seems to be in the shape of a washing machine.
Huh.
Yeah. Just a little bit odd. Here, let me see if I can find that
I'm
one.
I'm starting to vaguely remember a tweet about a washing machine.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm looking at this Robo Revolution check like gallery here linked off the auction. Then like these look freaking cool, and if it's difficult to buy them, then I won't bother. But
well, like I said, Griff got one just fine. So I have no idea why I randomly got one. You know, as far as I can tell, it's someone in the States that manages the shop. It's a supplier in China that actually packs everything and ships it out. So it might have been a miscommunication. I have no idea.
Were you able to sort it out?
I can see how is like the symbol for washing machine and scorpion similar?
I have no idea. The thing is, the toy I got wasn't even from the Robo Revolution line. It's just this knockoffish kind of goofball toy.
Hmm.
All these like these legally gray robot toys are all fun until you hit the part where they're legally gray and they can do stuff like that.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Come after us? We got nothing.
We don't even exist. Who are you talking to? We make handbags.
Well, that's the thing. It's like knockoff quality, but I don't know any existing engineering or any existing toy that this is based on.
No, this looks very, like, even the two-part combiners look very original.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really interested in these things.
Yeah, well, apparently in China there's a show for it and everything. Like, it's an actual toy line.
Oh, man, Robo Revolution.
No, what I actually ended up getting, it's this plastic kind of Asia-style washer-dryer unit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, it's this really cheapy, knockoff-y kind of feel to it. But it does fully transform into a robot that is much cooler than it has any right to be.
Oh.
And well, the articulation's on it kind of stunted, but it's like big blocky style all over. And it's got it's a washing machine that turns into a robot with these enormous dual-barreled shoulder cannons. And this is the point where I'll link the auction so you guys can see what I'm talking about here. The gimmick to these appliance hero toys that they're labeled as
is
they have two robot modes. They have one for collectors like us who need giant shoulder cannons on their washing machines. And then they have a kitty cute robot mode.
Oh my god, this thing looks awesome!
Which in this case, for the listeners, is the washing machine, you open up a panel and you can flip it around and reveal this really big, big-eyed cartoony face for the front of the washing machine. And you fold out these little dumpy legs and these little skinny arms, and you have this, like, cutesy little robot.
I love this, because it's like, that's the robot mode, and then when people, you know, start flipping tables over and start a fight, it's like, hey guys, stop fighting! Stop fighting! And then, like, this big shoulders come out, and he just starts murdering everybody.
See, in other applications, I mean, I could see how that'd be really cool. Like, if there's, like, a follow-up to Rescue Bots, where, you know, you have this, like, yeah, you have your vehicle mode, you have your, like, just hangout chilling mode, and then you have your battle mode.
Well, there's, like, a little rice cooker one.
Yeah, there's a rice cooker.
This is going to become a problem.
It's so bizarre, but, little, you know.
Little TV. This is wrong.
I know.
There's a refrigerator. What's the other one? Like a karaoke?
I'm going to end up owning all these by the end of the year. I'm going to end up doing... I'm going to get a block of money out of nowhere, and I'm going to sink it all into stupid Chinese robots. I'm going to own everything on this stupid eBay person's page by the end of the year. God damn it.
It's like the happiest little rice cooker, though. I'm very confused.
This is what it's like to feel like Vangelis.
The tank becomes a scorpion, becomes a robot, and then these other guys, the construction vehicle combines with a sports car.
I know.
There's a transforming AK-47! Seriously! Look at this. It is a robot that turns into a wood-stocked AK-47.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Free shipping! No!
Oh, it keeps getting better.
No! Tell me more about your washing machine.
Well, like I said, the washing machine's cool. It's a basic toy. The articulation's stunted, and, you know, it's Chinese made, so plastic tolerance is a little thin, and I'm sure the paint will eventually one day kill me from slow exposure.
Excellent.
But it is way cooler than it has any right to be.
Man.
Do you see the minigun one? I think it comes with pellets that it shoots.
Shut up. No. No way.
Because the pistol looks like it. There's a revolver that comes with 5 bullets, and that looks like it may be 5 round chamber.
That's not possible.
Like, it's a transforming chain gun, you know. You got a Springer that's only.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, if these fit in, like, other robots' hands. No, you want to talk Target Masters. Screw what Hasbro's doing.
That's right. Man, Titan Metroplex has posable hands. He can just hold one of these.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, welcome.
Oh, heck, they show it. If these links work right, let's see if that one works.
Oh, God damn it!
I think that's the Voyager Ironhide?
Yeah, it's the Voyager Ironhide. I thought those were bigger. I thought those gun robots were bigger than that.
And that's with that minigun.
Yeah. This sure is. Why did we stop talking about Lego? Let's talk more about Lego.
It's a far less crippling, you know, fascination.
Yeah. Okay, well, how's the build quality on the washing machine? Like, is it...
I'd say it's like, you know, like I said, there's some really sketchy tolerance issues. I mean, it's cheap Chinese, you know, it's what you'd expect.
Yeah.
I'd say it's one notch up from your typical knockoff stuff, though.
Okay.
Like, I don't think this thing's going to shatter, and I've transformed it successfully several times now.
Yeah, because, I mean, the only thing that's putting me off these is they're all over $10. So that's preventing me from wanting to just bulk buy. Oh, no, wait, there's a set. Oh, no, these aren't them. Never mind. Set of 5 pyramid elephant column sphere. What?
Yeah, they turn into shapes.
And they combine into a tower? That's too much.
Close the window, Evangelist. It's the only thing we can do.
No, I need to see if they sell a lot of Robo Revolution. Oh, God, they sell a lot of all the guns. Eight guns for $60. Oh, watch list. Don't worry, I never check my watch list. This just makes me feel better right now.
Did you see the construction vehicle set that combines in no way like Devastator does?
I saw a video about this thing. I didn't know these things had robot modes. That's changing my whole opinion on this thing. I didn't know. I thought they were just vehicles. Oh, God damn it. I thought they were vehicles. I thought it was, I thought it looked neat, but... Astroplan Deluxe. Oh, he has all these lot boxes. Oh, Astroplan, this is the knockoff Macross series they did. I remember this from a real angry post somewhere. Oh, and they've got Stadium Warrior. I remember that. Oh, God. You guys need to look at this. This is a happy robot crab.
Yep.
If I forget to link to this... Actually, you know what? I'm not going to link to this eBay site, because it's mine, and I haven't bought everything on it yet. If you want to find this, go look for it.
That's not a happy robot crab.
That's a happy robot crab.
No, that crab appears to be apathetic at best.
It's a happy robot crab. There's an appliance television robot. Anyway, good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying your washing machine. I hope that you're able to eventually get a hold of the one you wanted in the first place.
I should. Just waiting for my wallet to recover.
This refrigerator looks like a real refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look anything like a fridge in robot mode. There's legitimate engineering going on there. What do you mean this minigun has space for bullets? I don't believe you.
Well, it has bullets that come along with it.
No, it doesn't. You're a liar.
I don't want to go back and click those links because it'll be dangerous for
me. Yeah, go back and click the link and prove to me it has bullets. You should do that. You should go back and prove to me it has bullets.
Kerblam in the chat. What's the thing in the plastic bag?
Those appear to be bullets. Yep. Well. Cool! Yep. So, Megs, did you get anything else this week?
I think it's better that I didn't at this point.
All right. Aaron, did you get anything off topic this week?
Yeah. A couple other Lego things. I did get the Eradicator mech. My brother picked that up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And comes with a couple of interesting little bug dudes. With a slightly different version of the clear capture pod thingy as their abdomens, and then the Eradicator mech, and holy crap, the Eradicator mech's pretty cool. So he's your standard upright bipedal mech, and the cockpit with wings can pop off, and then the torso, the back half of the torso folds down, and you kind of swing the arms a little bit, and then it is a whole completely different upper body that the robot buddy can then drive. And you kind of change how the lower legs pose, mm-hmm. since you rotate the torso and change the balance. So it gives it And with the way that it's built, it kind of gives it like a chicken leg look. It has like launching fingertip missiles and a rotating Gatling gun and a whole lot of coolness. For its, especially for its like $40 price point in Lego.
Hmm.
What was the brain fiction that we came up with the cockpit has this,
Oh, you, radio... yeah, you and Random Factor were talking about it.
I thought you were in on that too.
No, I was just watching. Maybe.
Okay. But it has this thing that has a radioactive symbol on it that mine, the sticker sheet got cut off center. So it's an off center radioactive pellet thing that you load in the back of it. And I'm not sure if that's like the thing's power source or if that's like the bomb of last resort that you kick out the back and tell your family that you loved them before the apocalypse happens. But it's really, really cool set. Gets into like the ball and socket joints for the ankles. It has like the ratcheting hip piece for the hips. And I can't remember off the... Oh, hold on. Let me turn around and grab him rather than look at the pictures on the internet. Derp. Yeah, ball and socket shoulders as well. But very cool. Hefty dude. If you've been enjoying the Galaxy Squad stuff, he is definitely in the running as one of the neatest ones.
And he also, if you like Mech Warrior, he looks like he's right out of Mech Warrior.
Very much so. Maybe a little bit small on the arms for Mech Warrior, but within a realm of reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty cool. Even down to has like splatter stickers that go on his toes. Like he's been squashing bugs.
Yeah.
Super cool set. Also, something I had bought a while back was a space shuttle from the City Space Line that's starting to get a lot of places don't carry it anymore. It's not quite out of print. I've been holding off on that, and I hadn't live built for a while, and I decided I was going to live build and built that, and what do you know, it's a space shuttle. Still prefer the now out of print Shuttle Discovery better, which is the bigger one that has the external fuel tanks and solid rocket boosters. But that was the final of all of the city space stuff, and it's all like NASA licensed, so they're like four pages in the instruction book of NASA shuttle facts and space facts. And like the cargo bay in the shuttle is big enough to fit a school bus. That then gives you an idea of scale of things. So Bruticus is horribly out of scale with himself. That arm would be bigger than everything else.
There's a picture floating around.
Yeah, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Also had the very spoilerific Iron Man versus the Mandarin Ultimate Showdown set. And then what? There was the helicopter arrest. Also from the city line that Alfie was interested in because she is working on a abandoned building or derelict building, MOC. And this was like a feeder source now for a lot of those parts. And I'm trying to find it on the Lego store to link to you guys. It's a police helicopter and there's like a pickup truck and a boat, but then also an abandoned building that has a lot of texture bricks and it has like the boarded up windows. It's a pretty cool little set. It also has roll up garage doors, which need to get a couple more for what she's aiming for, but it's a good initial source for a bunch of stuff. And it's a fun little city build.
Cool.
Definitely a kids aimed build, but fun. Lego.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's it for me.
I forgot about something that I got at a Cracker Barrel.
Mm.
So I was in this Cracker Barrel where I had some pretty good food. And then you know how Cracker Barrel has an all-American store attached to it where they sell America things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there and I was there with Crin, and Crin's like, I bet they got toys here. And I was chuckling in the back of my head. I was like, yeah, they got my toys. These are going to be like America toys made in America. I'm not going to find robots here. And then I found Transformer knockoffs there. But not in the way you might think. These were...
Were they washing machines?
No. I'm going to link you a picture. These aren't exactly the ones I saw. I've just been discovering these are apparently all over AliExpress in packaging that actually has Transformers written on the front. But the ones I found just had, like, tags attached to them.
Okay.
They're made of wood and nylon elastic. Every one of those cubes, as you can see, can be spun around to have the slot, you know, spinning around, and then they can bend at every single one of those slots because they're connected by nylon elastic. So they're little wooden action figures that are actually extremely poseable, and they can kind of just mush together into the shape of a vehicle. And they have Florodiri artwork for the faces that were just ripped off completely. Like, mine is a bumblebee head right off the model sheet.
Megaterion?
So those names aren't on mine. Mine are just called Car, Truck, and Sports Car.
Okay.
And they were $2.99 a piece. And I felt they were well worth that. Like, nothing locks together. It's all by tension of the nylon springs and the, you know, the cubes and sharp edges being held together. But just the notion of a wooden Transformer that is a good action figure and a decent vehicle and is made entirely of wood and nylon elastic really tickled me. And I'm very impressed with them given what they are. It's way better than it has any right to be. Because kind of almost like GLaDOS, every single one of those cubes can swivel around against any of the other cubes because the cord running through them doesn't twist at all. So you can just start spinning everything. So everything has a swivel joint, and then every one of those cuts is a bend that you can put in. So you can actually get them into decent poses. I really like them. They're very charming. And apparently they're all over AliExpress from China if you want to just get, like, some off-brandy ones that actually say the word Transformer on the box. I actually found an image just searching for wooden Transformer... robot. I found an image of a Transformers branded version that probably is not sold in Cracker Barrel, but is the same design. It has measurements and stuff on it. So those were kind of cool. And it was funny because my mental soundtrack literally got shut down while I was thinking about how I'm never going to find a transforming robot at a Cracker Barrel. But I believe that does it for our what we got this week. So... let's take a quick jaunt into, for a whole new movie, a spoiler section!
This is the spoiler section! In this podcast chapter, discussion may reveal details of upcoming Transformers media that will obliterate the hope of your future. Skip to the next track or check the podcast timeline to find your way to safety. Otherwise, prepare yourself.
So, Transformers 4 is being shot. The principal photography was officially announced. They're shooting in the Navajo Tribal Park in Monument Valley. They have cast members and things, but the thing we're going to talk about, because it's what everyone's talking about, is we got to see a bunch of the cars for Transformers 4. So the big one being, there is a new truck for Optimus Prime. Still has blue and red flames on it. So they're
yeah. Appears to be even bigger and butcher than the last one.
It has 6 pipes! And that's why I like this truck a lot, because it has more pipes, and for some reason, I'm not a car person or a truck person, but when things get more exhaust pipes, I tend to think that they look cooler. I don't know if that makes me a certain kind of car person.
Yeah, except for when you actually look at the picture, it's obviously just split from the normal exhaust location as well.
I know, so it's a completely visual thing.
Yeah, everything that makes him look bigger appears to be just like plastic bolt-on.
Yeah, but I like the look of it. The flames are still there. I would have been surprised if they were gone because they're kind of part of the identity of Movie Prime.
Yep.
And I think it looks fine. It's a truck. I mean, I don't have anything else to say. Aaron, how do you feel about the new Prime truck?
It looks like it's compensating at this point.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing I like about this, is it totally looks like a more of a logical extension of what I consider to be the movie Prime character, which is a somewhat insecure homicidal maniac.
So in that aspect, yes, he's going deeper and darker down your rabbit hole.
Yep. All this does is make me think that I'm the one who's right. Everyone says, no, no, live-action movie Optimus Prime is a hero. He's a super, he's the one who's in the right. No, he's not. He's just, he's fun and he's insane. And every single movie has built upon him in the vein that I'm thinking of. So clearly, you know, clearly I figured it out early.
Mm-hmm.
Patting myself on the back. Yep, good for me. Omegas, I know you're a vaunted fan of the live-action movie series. So what are your opinions on this new Optimus Prime truck?
I do like that they're attempting something to freshen it up after three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those it's-about-time things. And I do generally like the look of the truck more. It's got a bigger, beefier look to it, and I get that same rolling fist vibe they went for in Fall of Cybertron.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just this big, brute, solid thing on six wheels, and it actually, you know, it maybe not the most practical truck, but it looks cool. You know, I wouldn't mind having a toy of that. I'm cautious in it. And that I hope the robot mode has as much show of difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also seeing it next to like the little sports cars. It is clearly enormous. So that's kind of cool. And that leads us to the next reveals, which is we saw some cars, which are probably Autobots. I don't know none of my cars from nothing. Apparently there's an ambulance there, so that's probably Ratchet. There's a military truck that was confirmed to be Hound.
By the official Bay Twitter, so who knows?
Yeah, maybe he's not. All these things could be filler names. They said that the two new cars are apparently Drift and Slingshot, but those are, like, production names, and apparently that, you know, Dark of the Moon is the perfect example, with Wheeljack Q, that, mm-hmm. you know, and Mirage El Rey or whatever.
Dino,
yeah. Like, none of those names could be set in stone whatsoever. So we got these new cars. One of them is a Bugatti, and the other one's a Corvette Stingray. I only know this because it says so on the news story. I'm going to admit
now. The Bugatti Veyron is the... That goes back and forth for the fastest production car. Has a separate key set to unlock the crazy, crazy, crazy mode.
Ah...
It will shred its... what is it? If driven at full speed, it will shred its own tires in 14 minutes.
Useful.
That's okay, because the gas will only last 12.
Useful.
The downforce that the... it has a tail that will come up, a fin that will come up on the back, that it generates while braking is equivalent to that of... two or three regular hatchback vehicles' brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Something like 11 radiators on it to keep every fluid cool. It's a W16 engine.
It's an efficient car, then.
No.
I know.
No. It's the exact opposite of that. But it's also a million point something car.
Yeah.
For a price tag.
It's 2.5 mil
for I guess I'm thinking like the base model.
So what happens when a cameraman scratches it?
He and his family are killed.
Yeah, No. I'm waiting for another. I'm waiting for another Dark of the Moon moment where an emergency vehicle T-bones it.
That would be so beautiful. Police car just T-bones this $2.5 million car.
there have been a total of 357 units sold
of Bugattis across the line.
Since when?
Since 2005, according to Wikipedia.
That's not bad.
Yeah, EPA highway miles is 14 miles to the gallon, which is about what my pickup truck gets. I get better city miles, though. Ha!
I have a transit system. And no need to cart things. Yeah. So these cars that we got to see there, you know, there's those two cars. There's also the new Bumblebee, who's mostly black. I am not opposed whatsoever to this apparent movement of making Bumblebee a primarily black car with yellow details. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Bumblebee is confirmed to be a highly modified vintage 1967 Camaro SS. That was, who were the, those were the Nazi police, right?
They were, but SS is also a super sport.
Well, why didn't they write super sport?
Because that takes up a whole lot of chrome.
Yeah. I want to believe that Bumblebee has just fully given in and literally just started researching Nazi history and just like, ah, these guys have the right idea. You know, he has no.
These guys seem nicer than our current leader.
There's no more Sam, so who's going to keep Bumblebee on the straight and narrow? He just puts SS on the front of his vehicle mode. And he's like, show me your papers. So he's gone back to being a vintage car. Highly modified vintage car. Albeit.
Mm-hmm.
That
almost looks like even like radar absorbing paint. The very matte paint scheme versus everything else being super shiny.
Wide tires
on him.
I like the look of, like, but him and the other two cars, I already forgot their names. One of them's the Bugatti, because I like saying Bugatti. It's, and then the Corvette Stingray. The three of them have a very, like, dark with Tokyo Drift fluorescence. Not fluorescent, Tokyo Drift, like, pastels and primaries and stuff on them. I like the look of them. I look at them in the sense of, I like the idea of having a deluxe transformer that will turn into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of issue with the Bugatti, if only because it's going to be black, and I really hope they've gotten over the habit of making the underskeleton black, too. If only because I really want them to avoid the usual problem of just parts getting jumbled when it's in motion, you can't tell what's what.
Oh, like, yeah, you want the robot, the robot-only bits to maybe be silver or something like that, see?
Yeah. Yeah, just so it stands out a little bit more. Cause like
I can see that.
Yeah, the bright green Stingray, that's going to be no problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy to see an Autobot that bright.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And I want, I really want the Bugatti to do that because I want every toy they make of that. Cause that is an absolutely gorgeous car. And I want it to look as good in robot mode.
See, that's the movie effect. That's what happened with me in Sideswipe, because I think both of Sideswipe's modes look great, and that made me just dive headfirst towards that deluxe Sideswipe in Revenge of the Fallen, which I still think is a pretty good toy. Yeah, I am like looking at, all I'm seeing looking at these right now is like I am ready to. I think they look like they will be great alt modes for hopefully good robot mode toys. And that leaves us with Autobot Hound. Who's a big military thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That almost looks like a big military, like, tanker truck or something.
Yeah. I don't know. If that's like a Voyager toy, because it looks like it's a bigger vehicle.
He's the size of Prime.
Yeah, so if he's a large toy, that looks like a, like, I think Sentinel Prime from Dark of the Moon, the leader Sentinel Prime, had a great alt mode.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I was hoping for when I saw these kind of photos of that fire truck. So I got the same feeling here. Like, cool alt modes. Doesn't get me hyped or anything, because I was expecting the cars to pretty much look cool. Generally, the movie has been pretty good about selecting sexy-looking vehicles or cars that look like they'd make fun toys. And I have no idea what the robots look like, so I've, you know... was there anything else in here? There was that G1 Prime looking thing.
Yeah, the old 80s block semi-truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is at all.
It's a old chewed up truck.
time we got an old beat up truck, it turned into Megatron, but kind of gone.
Well.
Yeah.
Well. Well. I don't know if he's, we're not, if, like, I think we might see him again. Like, the nature of whatever the hell Movie Megatron even is something that could possibly come back. But, have you guys got any other thoughts on, I mean, the identities of these guys, you know, Slingshot and Drift, like, Drift, sure, I could apply him to any of these.
Yeah.
Fast car.
Yeah.
might get sideways.
Slingshot as a car name works for me too, because I mean, Slingshot implies it goes fast. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more or less surprised we got a new Corvette and it's not Sideswipe.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I mean, the character of movie Sideswipe is only that one scene where he talked in Dark of the Moon, where he was like, yeah, Ironhide. It's like, okay.
Mm hmm.
That's all I remember about him.
So he had one Mexican standoff.
Yeah. I mean, that was his big moment. The one of the biggest, most hyped robots from movie 2 didn't get a single character moment until movie 3.
When he got a roller skating Mexican standoff.
That's right. Anyway, do you guys have any other things to say about the cars?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm good.
All right. We had a spoiler section. Hooray.
Like old times.
Yep. We saw a bunch of pictures of cars. I felt so bad when I would get a question from anyone this last week. Like, what do you think of the cars? And I'm like, I don't know. Prime has 6 pipes. I bet his testicles are huge. That's all I got.
Well, 6 pipes means 12 testicles, right?
That's right.
That's how that works.
They're big. They're all mushed together into kind of like an omnitestical.
Technically, it's like just 7, you know. They'll share.
Yeah. Those are cool-looking cars. They don't tell me anything about the robot.
You know, for a second, I was going to question Optimus Prime with testicles, and then like, oh, wait, these are Bay robots.
It's Movie Prime. Movie Prime probably, like, injects into his testicles. Like, that's where he puts the drugs now. All the other major areas of his body has stopped. It's the only remaining point of energon flow is right between his legs. So I was watching Breaking Bad, and there's this character on there in an early season called Tuco, who snorts blue meth off of a Bowie knife and then kills people. And I was just like, yep.
Have you seen, there's an image that's something along the lines of the the badassitude of a character is inversely related to the amount of hair he has in Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's kind of, that does make sense, yeah. I love it when Walter White puts the hat on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know it's from Cheeseburger, but there you go.
Cheeseburger.com. This is true. Anyway, yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll have, I guess, if more pertinent movie talk comes up, we'll talk about it, and maybe we'll finally get Russian Transformers this time.
Niet.
Yeah, probably not. If you'd like to leave us a listener voicemail on our Google Voice box, the number for that's 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. Aaron, thanks for coming by tonight.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah. Omegas, thanks for coming by tonight.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah. Washing Machine Robot, thanks for coming by tonight. Burp, 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 burp.
No, you know it's just that out of balance thunk is the sound he makes. You're like, what I put in there, a brick? What?
Washing What's machine robot, when he turns into robot mode, he just stumbles around on a bandy leg and a lack of equilibrium. Shoots all his missiles backwards. All right, well, we'll be back again, but for now, that's us. Check out Primetime if you haven't. We just put one up for the last two episodes, and one aired just a few hours ago, so we'll see what we do with that. And have a good night!
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.